He's back.
I'm back.
Ponderous. Ponderous.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Israel and Bolingbrook. A Yankees fan fell asleep during a game against the Red Sox in April.
The parts when I was awake blew my mind.
An ESPN cameraman lingered on his drooling face. Now Rip Van Winkle is suing for $10 million, claiming defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Somebody's got to give a not me.
Are you kidding me? If you're not into some solid REM sleep by the fifth inning, you're not getting your money's worth, my friend.
This is for your benefit. Will you kindly wake up?
Just don't spill your beer when your head starts oscillating. A woman in Alabama stole a horse, rode it drunk to a store, and stole cans of beer. Tell me you can't write a number one country and western song out of that. 82 shootings in 84 hours, dozens dead.
The Air Force is standing by.
It is so good to be back home
with an atom bomb
in Chicago.
You can't drop an atom bomb on Chicago.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting the way God and Steve Jobs intended on WGN.FM.
He's down on the phone.
The Super G on the Air Force in Chicago.
Over the weekend, my friend George, who's been on the program various times answering technical questions, he kept me texted all weekend. And one of the texts was, and this was, I don't know, Sunday, 6 dead, 14 shootings. That was just the
kept
Sunday
the tally
tote.
Up, yeah.
A new tote. And then I get home last night, and it was off the chart.
It was like 60-some, and then when I saw the 10 o'clock news, it was 82.
We can get some more in. I'll tell you what, my teddy bear candle and poster
you
board
must be making a million
kiosks are, they can't keep the stuff in stock.
Mylar balloons through the
through
roof.
Through the roof. That's all you need to sell to make a living in this town. Teddy bears and candles and all that stuff people put at those roads.
They've run out. Now it's all turtles. Like whatever they can
although
get their hands on.
The airbrushed t-shirts are giving them a run for the money.
What are those?
The airbrushed t-shirts, the memorial t-shirts that are popping up. Yeah.
I know it sounds cruel and harsh to say things like this, but I've been talking about this as long as there have been shootings, which is forever. And nobody wants to address the real problem, because I guess that's politically incorrect. But forget about, if we just do this or that. The police are outnumbered at this point. The martial law thing that I proposed, tell me it's not right. Tell me that the police can handle what's going on here.
They even said yesterday that there may be fatigue because some of these policemen have been working overtime. So maybe that's where the breakdown came from.
And now that you have 80-some shootings, at least half of those are going to have some retaliation. And then that'll be in the next mix of whenever that starts.
Sorry, but when there's 14-year-old kids on bikes shooting guns, it's not about, there's not enough cops. There's a whole
other
problem.
And how do you have enough cops to know exactly when that kid on the bike is going to go down that street and start shooting? It's out of control, but again, you got to go back to the start of why it's out of control, why there are gangs, and that's a lot of involvement of sociology and culture and this and that, and you won't get any results unless you address that. And even then, you're talking about years of hard work.
How about generations?
Exactly. Generations. How many generations in the making?
And by years, I mean 20 to 40.
Yeah.
But why is this city, I've mentioned this before, why is this city the only major city that is going through this? I assume there are gangs in every major city in the country, in the world. And why are we the poster city for all this? 312-521-8600.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's get going here. Enough of the fireworks and the 4th of July crap.
Well, you know what? It was actually an hour after Emmanuel gave a speech that there was a big shooting.
Yeah.
Not far from where he was.
What is the speech going to do? What? There is hatred. There are TERFs that have to be protected and drugs and this and that. What is he going to do? We got to stop this. We got to get more cops. That doesn't do anything. We've been on this case for how many decades? Forget about it.
Our McCarthy's kind of going after the judiciary, though, finally saying, listen, if you don't lock them up, they're going to come back out and they're going to start shooting again. And that on some level, the kids are more committed to their guns and their gang than ever worrying about shooting cops or going to prison.
Their mindset is beyond anything that a lot of us can comprehend because of the way they grew up and how their life has been structured. And they don't think, oh, I shouldn't do this because then I won't be the CEO of Walgreens someday. You think that crosses their mind? No. This is a whole different ball of wax. Hated to start off that way, but that's what's happening in our little city.
And let's talk about how great the New York fireworks were and how lame the Chicago
were. So I'm reading the New York Times. Wait a minute. New York Times Sunday Magazine a week ago. Sunday. They had a little chart on how many pounds of fireworks the Macy's New York fireworks display is, and then they ran about 10 other cities. Macy's in New York, 50,000 pounds of fireworks. And if you saw it on television,
it was amazing.
It is.
It was gorgeous.
Chicago, 2,000 pounds.
50?
2,000. They had 50,000. We had 2,000. There are people that have backyard displays with more.
There's a guy in Berwyn who has one.
Yeah.
I want to say the city said it was going to be a full 15-minute display, and I was thinking how many of the suburbs were at least half-hour displays.
So they televised it?
Yeah, I turned the thing on at about 20 to 10, and there was Dean saying, well, that was great, wasn't it? And I'm like, I missed it.
When did that happen? Is that a bottle rocket in your pocket, Dean, or are you just out of fireworks?
I'm like, how long were these? Because it said 9:30.
2,000 pounds. How long does that take? If you saw the New York display, how long did that go? Now we're talking, first of all, we're talking barges and the Brooklyn Bridge.
And the Brooklyn Bridge.
Lit up like it's World War III.
Yeah.
And that went on for at least a half hour, 20 minutes, a half hour. And every burst looked like a finale.
Well,
did they do here?
So maybe that's why our gangbangers are overcompensating.
Well,
they need the extra.
If we added that firepower, then we got 75,000 pounds if you had bullets.
One M80 and a Roman candle.
Dink. And is that Navy Pier, the McPier thing, which is also the city?
Oh, yes.
That's the city's fireworks.
Yeah.
But Navy Pier does it, and it's not anything like it used to be.
And not only that, but there's hardly any people. There's only 100 or so thousand people. It wasn't like they could even get that many people in.
Well, they did have to close down the pier to visitors.
Oh, so it's
at some point. So the pier was as full as the pier can be, but that's nothing compared to how full Grant Park used to be when you have the band shell filled with the Chicago Symphony and all that.
Yeah, but I'm watching Nick Cannon over here. He's blowing off these fireworks. I figured, well, if it says 9:30, then they're going to have to do a little roll-up. Not going to be right at 9:30, so I'll turn out about 9:40, and I'll see 10-15 minutes. And
it was
done.
Over.
He's going to Amy Rutledge talking to people. So what'd you think?
And why was Dean there in the first place?
He was at the studio. He was hosting.
He was in the studio.
And then they covered them live.
And they just turned on a camera, and he sat and watched the monitor.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. And that's over.
Ooh. And then they had the reporter saying, so what'd you think to the people?
Tom Skilling's weather forecast is longer than that. Every night. And his charts give me more excitement than the fireworks that they have here.
And Channel 11, they showed from Washington, D.C. It was gorgeous. They're blowing them up over the Washington Monument. And I'm like,
yeah. Nothing. They listed, I think, Chicago, as far as I remember, I should have saved it. It was a week ago, and it got lost in the shuffle. But I know it was 50,000 pounds in New York, 2,000 in Chicago. But then they list other cities like Nashville or something, and they had 6,000, 8,000 pounds. And we were towards the bottom of the poundage. But again, if we're going to add the shootings in, then don't even look for second place.
We had our own fireworks.
We own the shoots. We should have that as a calibration.
We had real gunpowder.
What is going to happen here? I mean, if this is almost mid-July and we're really dialed up here.
I'm leaving in August.
Where are we going from here? We still got another 6 weeks of pretty good weather, hopefully.
Some of the big brains are saying it's not weather-related. The heat doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, because there were how many shootings in February on that cold weekend in February? Yeah, they would squoze a few out, two or three, but not 80-some.
But those are just domestic.
So you're telling me, and they had a, as they're doing in the New York Times, a big series on Detroit and how the city is trying to regain some footing on something and get going. And you're telling me that Detroit, with all the problems they have, we don't hear a peep about shootings and stuff. And here, this city that's supposedly working is just a mess. So what is going on here?
I tell you, if the black community had a candidate, I don't see how Emanuel could win his reelection.
Well,
because this is, and they said this is international news now, not just national.
Oh, it certainly does get out of the state, and yeah.
But this was international
now. Now people in Rome, I'm not going there.
Well, if I didn't live here, I was sitting at home going, I don't even live close to that, but I'm afraid to go outside now. There's 82
You're
people.
Afraid to go outside in the Vanilla Village.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, which is good, because you don't anyway.
Well,
so this is just business as usual.
Well, it's great, because Kate Sullivan yesterday at 10 o'clock goes, even if you don't live in the area, you should be worried about this.
Okay, Kate, thank you. Does she have an escort to her car then?
Yeah, I mean.
She parking inside the building over there?
But those are amazing. 82 people shot or wounded.
Well, 15 dead.
Right.
Think about that. They don't have those totals sometimes in Afghanistan.
And somehow to make it seem like it's okay that it was confined to three or four neighborhoods. Well,
what?
No.
What if you live in those neighborhoods?
Exactly.
Yeah, like those. Yeah, that's the way it goes. They're used to it.
In fact,
they're used to it.
On George Stephanopoulos' show on Sunday, they always list the people that were killed in the wars. And the woman even who was filling in said, this week the Pentagon reported nobody was killed. So more people were killed
in Chicago than in wars.
They were in the wars.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't know. Do you blame the mayor and the police superintendent? I know that they are, at least Rahm is kind of light on a lot of things, but you could have any mayor in there, and this is going to happen.
Well,
this is a whole different angle that I don't know how you get your arms around it just by putting a few more cops on the street.
And with that, then, we are a city that has big problems because of our pension situation, which is why hiring more cops becomes even more problematic, because you've got to pay for this for the next 30 or 40 years once you start bringing in more personnel.
Right.
And that's what nobody has really figured out.
Just hope you're not in that place when that happens. That's all you can do. I guess the biggest knock to the gut, though, was the non-reunion of Eddie and Jobo. When I got that word down the line, I thought
Jobo is happy in Freeport.
Where is Freeport?
It's way west.
Is that a quad?
North.
Is that a quad or a quint?
No, it's not even. It's on the way to the quads, but it's not there.
It's on the way to Rockford, or just like, beyond Rockford, on your way to Dubuque.
Yeah.
Okay. And Dubuque. Is that where he grew up?
I don't know.
So Eddie lives in Freeport. Let me get the.
Yeah, he sold his condo in Chicago, and he moved to Freeport.
And did I get the information right that he was going to be able to do his part at his house?
From his house.
And in the 11th hour, he decided he didn't want to do that.
And apparently this has been on the table for a couple of months, and he's been going back and forth. And he first said no, and they came back at him again. And 2.5-year contract. From what I read, $200,000
each
to finish off this year, and then $500,000
each?
What?
He needs another vacation now.
They play music. The two would play music. And he's going to be in his house.
Okay.
I can't do it, man. I need serenity.
Serenity now. Finally afford shirts that
fit. You're making too much money? Are you kidding me? If Eddie and Joe, I have to say, these two guys
have
been able over the years to raise the bar, believe it or not, of all the people that you know in the radio business, those two have been able to drive the number up, and they've always played music. And you get these cross eyes from some of these people. Oh, you're making a lot of money. Really? Have you seen what Eddie and Joe Bo are making?
And Eddie cannot believe that Jobo walked away from this money.
Well, maybe Eddie saved.
And
doesn't need to do it.
No, Jobo saved.
Which one is not coming back?
Jobo.
Jobo.
Oh, geez.
Eddie is not happy because Eddie said, hey, I've got
Not that I can tell by the insurance commercial which one is which.
The one with the real bad toupee.
That doesn't do it for me.
The goatee and the red hair.
Who's the skinnier guy?
Yeah, that's Jobo.
He's the guy that saved and lives in Freeport.
Yeah.
Okay.
But apparently, because Eddie goes, hey, You know, I got kids in college. I got child support. I need money.
All right. Well, that's not his, right. The other guy's fault.
So Jovo must have saved. He's got a condo. He lives somewhere in Freeport. He goes, I need serenity, man.
Think about the cost of living in Freeport compared to living in Chicago. You don't need as much, number one.
Well, Jovo was living like a millionaire in Chicago. So what's he living like?
Because he was a millionaire.
That's what I mean. So what's he living like now?
That's what I think of when I dream
like
about
Xanadu.
Not living in the tax-ridden Chicago area. What it would be like. Again, when I was in Pennsylvania, 7% sales tax, no tax on clothing, pharmaceuticals, grocery items, and just the general cost of living is less. And you think, come on.
Did you get any new slacks?
I just didn't. I wasn't into
buying. You weren't in the no?
Because
I thought
drink.
You always.
I know, I always do, and I did go and I looked. But when you're not motivated, because it was so nice out, I thought, why am I inside a store? Every day was nice. I don't want to buy any pants. I don't want to lug any pants back. But
the pharmaceuticals, did you load up on the pharmaceuticals?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I got a whole suitcase just with that, with murine and all the mouthwashes. But I did stop at my favorite socks and underwear place, which is in Oak Forest.
Oh.
Look at this.
Wow, that's quite. Look at how long,
look at how long this looks.
Look how long this
Here's my receipt.
It looks like
is
a week of groceries.
Wow.
Here's my receipt. I got.
Woofa.
I got 18 pairs of socks and 11 pair of underwear.
Oh my God!
Out the door with tax. Now think about that. That's 29 items, $53. 18 pairs of socks.
Wow.
11 pair of underwear.
So how much were the socks? Like a buck a piece?
Well, some. I mean,
they have to be.
Yeah.
It'd be $50 with tax.
Everything, if you added it all up, and
that's amazing.
And kind of put it in that category.
Because 3 times
29 items for $53. That's not even $2 an item.
That's what I mean, 30.
Okay.
30
and they use real elastic in them pants?
I'm wearing them now. Feels great.
Just checking.
So now do you throw out, so if you come home with 18 pairs of socks,
yeah.
Do you throw out all your existing socks?
Well, I'm getting ready to do a purge. Some of the socks
how many
have not had
them.
No. No, that's going to be some have to go.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Some don't have a mate, and I don't know if it's still in the dryer or in the laundry or whatever, but after a while I have a grace period, and if they don't show up, they're gone.
You haven't been on the Eisenhower recently, have you?
Because
I'm seeing a lot of stray socks and shoes out there.
Let me talk to this guy because he's on hold. Joe, you're the first caller post-vacation. What do you got? How you doing?
Yeah, well, I grew up on the South Side right on Willow Avenue with the Daleys. We used to swim together at the Boys Club.
Yes.
On 34th and Emerald, but I moved to San Francisco with the San Francisco Bay Area in 1973. So the only time I get back to Chicago, you know, occasional visits. But I listen to you every day out here on WGN and on the new program.
Thank you.
But my heart goes out to you. I don't. It seems like with one problem after another.
When did you move to San Francisco?
1973.
73. And did you buy a place right away, or do you not own a place? What's your situation with that?
Well, initially, I was renting, and I was a teacher. I taught at San Quentin for about 3 years.
At the prison?
But then I went into San Quentin prison. And then I went into real estate, and I've been a real estate broker for like 35 years.
And San Francisco is now the most expensive real estate in the country?
Yeah, but, you know, most of us live in the suburbs. I mean, San Francisco is only around 700,000, but the total Bay Area is around 8 million.
And where in the Bay Area do you live?
Well, I live in a little suburb called Walnut Creek.
Okay, and how much is your place? How much
well,
you buy it for?
When I bought it, for about 100.
And what's it worth now, 3 million?
No. About 350.
Really?
No, it's a two-bedroom condo.
I thought because of all the Silicon Valley people and everything, it's driven everything through the roof.
Oh, yeah, but that's Silicon Valley. You know, that's like 50 or 60 miles away.
Oh, okay.
You know, everything out here is spread. Everything's spread out. Like when I lived in Chicago, I mean, I just lived near north. I never had to use a car. But out here, everywhere you go, you're in your car and you're driving 40 or 50 miles. Now they opened up the new the Giants ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
not the Giants, I'm sorry, the 49ers. But people in San Francisco now, when the football season starts, they're going to have to drive 50 miles just to see a football game.
Well, watch it on TV like I do. You don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. And
but anyway, I wanted to give you a call because I've been listening to you folks every day, and it's nice.
Well, thank you, Joe. And you have our former pitcher, Jeff Samardzija, now in the Bay Area.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
He's with Oakland, right? Jeff Samardzija, didn't he go to Oakland?
I was a swimmer. I was a lifeguard on the lake for 3 or 4 years as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Between 57th Street and 49th on the south side.
Okay.
I was not a football, baseball fan.
Okay. I'm not either, but I just keep up with some of the goings and comings.
But I do have to tell you, as a kid, we used to swim at the Valentine Boys Club on 34th and Emerald. And from time to time, the Daly Brothers would come in. I recall they were never real good swimmers.
I don't have any hard time believing that. Did you swim naked?
Actually, we did, yeah. At that time, this is about 1953, the boys, you didn't wear a suit because you went through the showers and,
sure,
you know, and then you went in the pool.
I don't want to imagine the Daly Brothers naked because I don't like to look at them with clothes on. I find that hard to look at.
Yeah. But then on Fridays, they had girls' day, and I think the girls, they wore suits.
Yeah, the girls always wore suits. Don't try to find an explanation. You won't find one that's satisfying. I've tried.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Daly was swimming naked.
Yes.
But anyway, all of us old lifeguards, it's sort of like a reunion time for us these days.
What does that mean?
There's a website you can get on the Chicago beaches, through the Park District. You get onto the Park District website and you check the beaches, and then they have one where you have a whole page where you can check the beach every day and see the air temperature, water temperature, the waves, and so on.
What,
and it's kind of interesting. It's like being back on the beach.
What medical waste is where?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You didn't want to hear that, Joe. I don't want to ruin your memories. Joe, keep in touch.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Joe.
We had our first beach closures.
For what?
The big rain. They had to dump a lot of storm water into the lake. So
they told us that tunnel was good for 100-year rain. We've had how many 100-year rains in the last 25 years?
It was supposed to be a big tunnel, right?
The biggest.
Wasn't that the name?
Giant tunnel.
It was right in the tunnel.
And you'd only have to use it once when there was a lot of rain and they had to put the sewage somewhere. But that's been about the 25th time they've done that since they built that tunnel.
Well, you see now the Daily is saying that he isn't well enough to testify in the Park Grill case.
Where he gave some favors to that restaurant on
his lawyers say he's physically not able, even though
I mean Millennium Park. Millennials go to Millennium Park.
Yeah, right.
It would be a medical hardship for him.
Medical hardship if he were to testify.
Suddenly.
Even though his brother in January said he's great.
He's
enjoying life. I love him.
He never made sense when he talked. So why should you worry about it now?
Man, he is really going to, I mean, nothing good has happened since he has quit that job.
Whose fault is that?
I know, but I'm just saying, now all these little things are popping up.
They're the same legacy things that were popping up all during his administration.
Right, and he was able to sidestep them, put scotch tape on them.
But he can't do that anymore.
No.
That legacy, I don't know what the legacy was, but even what it was, it's diminishing quickly.
I don't know what he was thinking when he was doing some of this stuff. I think he was just trying to get to the end and figure it's somebody else's problem when I get out of here. And it is. It's our problem. And whatever mayor comes in for the next 20 years. But I don't know what he was thinking when he was doing it besides, he wasn't thinking.
No.
Why would you do a 99-year parking meter deal the way he did it?
Unless you want to fill a hole up with money that you need right now and not worry about the next 99 years.
But
so
why?
Try this on for size. Mayor Lewis. A lot of people are
Lewis.
Karen.
Karen Lewis from the
A
Seriously?
Lot of people
she,
are floating
she
her,
run.
And she is starting to be a little more cagey about the possibility.
Wow.
Yeah, she even had the gastrointestinal surgery so she could lose weight.
She did?
Yeah, so she could look a little better.
Going the Charlie Crist route.
Yeah. Not Charlie.
Or not
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie.
Charlie Christie.
Charlie Christie.
His brother is also on the
the
on
other,
the band.
DC.
312-521-8600, text and phone number. So I'm pretty happy with my socks and underwear
purchases. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What were you expecting? Like, a lot of times when you put stuff on the counter, you figure, this is going to be about 70, or this is going to be about 40.
This is the most I've ever spent, but it's the most I've ever gotten at one.
But were you happy? Were you like, wow?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
like when you get, they have them in bunches. Like, one was nine pairs of socks in a bunch, and that was, I don't know, $8.
Do you have to bring your own bag at this place?
No, you get a bag.
Variety? Is it all tidy whities, or you get like the cool boxer?
Yes.
It's a name brand.
Yes, I'm wearing Hanes right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
It's not Fruit of the Stroom.
No. Or there's some kind of...
Locky.
Right. And there are...
Blaine's.
That's in China, where you go and they have a store that looks like an Apple store, but it's Snapple or... No, they can't even use that. It's Bapple. Or
Apple.
Yeah, and it looks just like the store you would see here, but it isn't.
No, so you
These are all... regular name brand things.
It's not Calvin Kleinstein. It's Calvin Klein, right?
No. Everything
very nice.
Is the way you would see it in any other store.
Well, I've never seen a receipt that long for that less of money. Usually, if it's that long...
It's got to be $150.
Easily.
The receipt is a foot long.
Oh, my gosh. That's impressive.
Yes. So that's
but
the way you start.
But you didn't buy any Pittsburgh clothes.
Again, the weather was so nice, and... You think, do I want to go hang out in the store for even 20 minutes? And I went through, but I was not into it. And you should never, never buy clothes when you're not into it.
Because you're never going to wear it.
You'll end up with a sombrero or some bell-bottoms that you'll never wear. So I stay away from that.
Well, we went to Gettysburg on one of the days that we were gone, and we didn't see a skirmish, but we saw a spat.
The spat.
It was very small.
Very small.
Just in the corner.
Spat.
And
that was the people that are doing the tour, because it was so hot, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to spend all the money for a skirmish.
If you've been to Gettysburg, you'll know what we're talking about here. If not, we'll just tell you, and I have said this because we went last year. It's a giant field where 50,000 people in 3 days were either killed or injured. And you can see why, because there's nowhere to hide.
No, there is nothing.
You're
other
out
than
in the middle shooting at each other.
Ridges. The only thing about is ridges. Cemetery Ridge, Seminary Ridge.
Right, and then they got on their perch and they waited.
Little round horn or something.
And I guess I was most surprised with all the monuments.
Yeah.
That are scattered all over the field.
That all the different battalions have put up.
They all have their own monument.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But it was funny because you get done and, I remember you telling the story, and you said it's just this big open field. And so the guy basically, your tour guide says, so see that clump of trees there? That's Pickett's Charge. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I know, but what? I'm just seeing a clump of trees. I actually now would maybe want to see a skirmish or a spat or a Donnybrook just to see, like, the guys running.
They must do reenactment. Are they not allowed to do reenactments at the sacred site?
We were there on the day before the anniversary of the first battle, which would be July 1st. We were there on June 30th. And so all the guys in town were walking around with the stuff because they had to sign up to be a part of one of the three skirmishes that day.
And how hot was it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was very hot last year. And you're thinking, it's all wool clothing.
Oh, my God.
And they have everything to the T of how they dressed back then. I don't know what these guys were thinking.
I felt so sorry for these two guys that were our guides.
And they did a scrum, what they do?
A spat.
A spat.
They just had a spat in the parking lot.
Right next to their cars.
Right next to the boat. Next to the bus.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got out of this nice, because we went to D.C., and then we took this tour from D.C. So it was like a two-hour drive from D.C. to Gettysburg, and we were on the bus all day. And so it was this nice, beautiful bus, comfortable, air-conditioned.
Did you see Johnny from Michigan?
That's right.
He was there, too.
He was in Washington. I know. Yes. I was thinking of him because he said he was going to go to the White House.
Craig, call John. Oh, I got to talk about this, too. This other, we'll get to it.
Yeah,
we've got several hours.
We've got 4 hours.
Call Johnny in Michigan and see how his trip went. Put him on, if you could.
But these guys, we get off the bus, and it was so hot and so humid. And they had, like you said, oh, my God, these big. And this one guy had this outfit I never saw that came from France. This guy was really bundled up, and he had this hat on. I mean, I don't know how they did that.
And they're so into it, you have to wonder.
Oh, he wouldn't. He didn't. He kept saying, "When I got shot," he never broke character.
No.
For 2 hours.
And then they're in the drive-through at McDonald's in their costumes.
And then he let it slip at the end. Yeah, I work at a nursing home, because he was trying to talk about like these soldiers that would lose their foot. and then they would still have that sense that their foot was still there.
Right, the phantom,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, the phantom pain. So he said, you know, I work in a nursing home, and there's a guy there that has no feet, and he even says a lot of times, oh, man, my feet are killing me, and he doesn't have any feet. So I'm like, why are you shouldn't be breaking character. I know it's an interesting story, but
you should get a refund for that. I don't know how much you paid for that spat, but there's a discount when they break character.
But it was pretty cool. I mean, but I would like to just, I mean, what was difficult to try to imagine, because you're just looking at a big, giant, open field, and they're saying, okay, they
right,
ran
and
here.
Then
and then
came on this formation.
Yeah,
and
then they're flanking.
Around.
Yeah, flanking and all this. And I'm like, I need to see some body.
Yeah, they should have that going all the time. Like the multiplexes. 3, 5:30,
yes.
7.
Yes.
I want to see it. How does it work?
And just keep.
I want to see these numbskulls in action.
Oh, I mean, when you hear what was going on, they were saying how they cut the leg in the battlefield. It seems like everybody got shot in the leg. Everybody got shot in the leg.
Right.
So they had to cut off all these legs. And he said that basically the guys didn't even die from the fact that they got their leg amputated. They died from the infection of them cutting their legs off.
Can you imagine what they were doing on a wooden table with some hacksaw?
They didn't even wipe the saw off.
No.
Like when you cut, they cut your leg off, they move you out, they wipe the underneath their armpit. And then they start cutting again.
All right. Think about this. Even if they sterilize the saw after every use, where are you going from there? They didn't have any prosthetics. They had, a peg?
Pegs. I asked the guy. I said, so was everybody walking with peg legs? He goes, pretty much.
No.
Everybody had a peg leg.
Pegs are us. That was the store in town. You can still see it.
I mean, it was. And then I don't know how you felt, but I felt so ignorant about the Civil War. I don't know if we learned about the Civil War in
Civil War is what we need.
I don't know if we learned about
right here in Chicago.
Yeah, the Civil War, like in the last week of May during school, when you just had to get
a whole. I know we did a whole semester on the Civil War, but that's so long ago.
Did you really?
How are you going to retain that?
Because I never. I learned stuff here that
I learned mostly from the Lincoln movie with Daniel Day-Lewis.
And now.
Hey, did you go by the cemetery where Lincoln did the Gettysburg Address?
Yeah.
Okay. That's worth
cool.
the price
right.
of admission,
yeah.
which is free for
yeah,
the most part.
The soldiers' cemetery.
You're 25 yards from where he gave the Gettysburg Address, which was all, this is what I learned, all of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the guy who introduced him, some senator, he went on for 2 hours.
2 hours.
And then Lincoln comes on in 2 minutes and does this incredible speech.
And the best part is Lincoln even says in the Gettysburg Address, people will not remember what we say here today. And yet, that's the only one they said.
Because it's just a little over 2 minutes.
But it was amazing how I was learning so much, and I said, wow, when I went to school, they just flew over this. The Civil War is sort of like,
a lot
you know what, South bad, North good, we won, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the War of 1812. You know, let's get to the next one. And, I mean, what made sense, I know, you know, it was obviously about slavery, but what they were saying was that the main thing was, it wasn't about the slavery per se in the South. The United States was starting to expand to the West. And so the North is like, look, you guys can have slavery down in the South. But as we move West here, it's not going there. And the South is like, oh, no, it can go anywhere it wants. So that's where the real conflict came. And I learned some of this stuff. Like I said, this Pickett's charge. Like you were. I
some people are only going to find out about slavery and all of that through Django Unchained. Through a Tarantino movie. That's as far as it's going to go.
With a Jim Croce song.
Exactly. With the big tooth on what's-his-name's little wagon. Which is a good movie.
That's a great
movie. But that's not the story I think you should carry around as far as your knowledge.
But it was pretty, I mean, it was, but I mean, and even that battlefield, very small.
Everything is.
Yeah.
TV shows, everything you see or in a picture or on television, you go see it in person, smaller.
But then the other side of the coin is, the war went on for 2 years after this. So I'm like,
what did they learn?
What's a big whip?
3 days, all this carnage.
But think of this.
Did they tell you about all the rotting bodies and horses and stuff in that field because they couldn't move them out?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, to put in perspective, 50,000 people died in 3 days at Gettysburg. 55 died in Vietnam in the whole war.
55,000.
In the whole war.
Yeah.
3 days.
3 days.
In Gettysburg.
How about this? I think you have stumbled on something. Your own line of underwear, Fruit of the Stream. And you could market that and then promote it through the internet.
Better hope it's a steady stream, too.
What did Dilbert say to you today? I wasn't in my new office 10 minutes. Here he is, Dilbert. I'm thinking, I thought being seven floors away, I could not see you people for a long time. Okay. So whenever he sits down, I'm thinking,
uh-oh.
So he always rolls out something with a little carrot where, oh, that sounds good, because he's got the other stuff behind it that he needs to really sell me on. We need to put even more people on your show to help produce it and everything. Okay, more bodies are always good to do different things. So then he rolled. So Craig is going to be shadowed by Keith. Who's Keith? I don't know who's Keith. Keith.
You know Keith.
Keith. And then at some point, Craig is going to do another show, but then he'll be with your show when you need him. And by the end of the thing, I find out to say, am I getting screwed again?
Did you say that out loud?
I said that. Cause the way he packaged it, I thought, all I got to say is, Dilbert, I think I'm getting screwed again. And then after he left, Craig says to me, yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but they got me producing Patty Vasquez's show.
Which starts at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
at night.
I think they might want to transfer me to that altogether. And why would they do that? I have a producer. You're my producer. Why don't they just put Keith on with Patty? And then there was some other. I'm sitting there. First of all, the office is all boxes because they moved everything while I was on vacation because they thought that would be easier, which it basically is.
But you know what I heard? They moved it yesterday.
Yeah.
Really?
Thank God I was off yesterday.
They had all week.
Yeah. The whole point was do it while I'm on vacation,
right.
So it's all moved.
It was pretty full as of yesterday.
I mean,
your old office.
Yeah.
I expected to come in today.
Everything
beautiful. Like, oh, Gary's going to be in a good mood. He's got his new office all set up. And I walked in, and it looked like Sanford and Son.
It will be for a few days. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I hate moving. I haven't had to do it all that often. But there's something about it, and you don't think you have that much stuff until you start opening drawers.
Yes, you do.
And looking around, and it just keeps coming. And my office isn't that big, but when they put everything in a box and then brought it down, I've got 25 boxes of stuff. What is this stuff? Well, here's the problem. This office is a little smaller because there's a 2-foot vent by the window.
Oh, so that's a vent?
That's a vent of some sort, and it takes up a solid 2 feet, which is critical because everything was kind of perfectly spaced in my old office. And now I got to figure out, because they took drawers, because they had to cut the desk. Now,
they had to cut the desk.
Now I can't open the door unless I move a table. And
what are those?
Something like that.
Can you have a window seat there?
Well,
so you can
read
your newspapers and people
right.
can
Here's,
happen by on Pioneer
I don't know what
happened.
It's funny because about 10 people came down to visit me. People that were 3 feet away from me before, they never came in.
Now they're all
down. Now they all came down.
Yeah.
Either to see the circus freak show that's down there. I'm not complaining because I saw the other offices. Oh, my God. Pete McMurray is
He's
in a...
He's got a closet.
That's a tunnel.
The last time I saw something like that was when I toured Alcatraz.
It's a cave.
When they shut the door of the solitary confinement cell.
Oh, my God.
And I lasted 10 seconds. Let me out.
And it's not just Pete. It's Pete and...
And his boy, Scotty.
And Scott,
yeah.
But there's no light and there's no window.
There's no window. It's not really... It was an office for interns in the past,
right.
And they didn't complain because they were only there a few months.
Right.
But Pete goes, want to see my new office? And I walked in, I go, oh, my God.
Oh.
I couldn't even disguise anything more than, oh, my God.
That was depressing.
And the other offices that they gave to the AM people looked like telemarketing offices.
Yeah, that's exactly
what. That's what they look like. So I'm the tallest midget right now. So I'm not complaining. The only thing I miss is opening a window because this building, like a lot of these buildings from that era, the windows don't open. And they did open in the old office, but they only open about 4 inches. And somebody told me that's so people don't jump out. And I'm thinking, what kind of... shop are you running here?
Well, you couldn't.
There actually was a suicide here right around the time I started.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
They jumped out the window.
A disgruntled employee or a sad employee, a depressed
well,
employee.
Whatever. Pick
right.
one. I mean, they're all going to apply. Is that why they have a cage? There's a little area you can walk outside on this floor, and there's a cage over it now. Is that why?
Is that
where they jump?
I don't know if the cage came before or after, but I know there has been one in recent memory.
Yeah, but you couldn't open your window because it's a huge window.
No, it's not.
It looks
onto the plaza next to the building. But even before, in the first office I had on the first floor,
right.
Those were regular windows. You couldn't open those either.
Are those sitting open?
And the ones in here. We're on the seventh floor.
Yeah, you
these
can't
are regular
these.
Looking windows, but you cannot open them.
Well, you would have gone out that one a long time ago.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here's a text at 312-521-8600. How long before you're in the basement? I would think, after all that's happened in the last few weeks, that there would be some kind of, let's see how far we can keep pushing them. But then when I saw the other offices, I'm thinking, they hate those other people even more.
There's an extra
I'm thinking,
chair.
What did Pete McMurray do? If they're treating me like, what did this poor man do?
I think he wanted that one.
Why?
I don't know, but I heard he likes
to... Easier to barricade yourself in.
Right. He's going to take hostages?
Take this claim.
He's a mushroom.
And by the way, if they start sending you to basements, there are five of them
on
this
building. Yeah, there's like,
five stories
down, right?
So you've got a long way to go.
They built this thing like there was going to be a nuclear holocaust, right?
I think there is an extra chair at the security desk in the lobby.
That's next. So I still don't know what the heck's going on with this Craig Keith producer thing. There's something going on. But I said to Dilbert, give me a few days. I got to get my stuff out of the boxes and things, and let me just settle in, and then I'll figure out what you're doing to me next.
What happens in August?
So then I said, well, what about the Ravinia remote?
Oh.
Well.
Oh, no.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Oh.
And then somebody told me that they got the memo yesterday it wasn't going to happen, but he didn't say that to me. He just said, well, I don't know. But there is a way to do it, but it would have to be taped earlier in the day and then replayed later that day, cost-wise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. So I have to explore that.
Well, there'd be nobody there.
And Craig, or is it Keith? Who am I talking to?
Keith is...
I don't know. They may have fired somebody while I was talking. Can you find out about this thing on the 22nd floor on Friday? I think that's a go.
What's that?
Where we would broadcast from the 22nd floor. There's a deck.
A balcony.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a jump party? Wait.
If you are despondent, disgruntled, whatever you rolled out there, Leslie, stressed.
Suicide Friday.
This is for you.
Remember how Kathy and Judy had sex Thursday?
Yeah. Yes, I do remember. I don't want to see that. Oh, boy, was that close. That almost rolled right out. Is that the only... Well, anyway.
So what is this now? On Friday? This week?
I think, again, there were so many vague... things he rolled out.
You're sitting there.
Concept.
You're sitting there behind this.
I got
this
all these
wall of boxes.
Well, first of all, there's nowhere to sit because there's a box and everything.
What I mean.
So he had to move a box and give himself about 2 feet to sit in between the boxes. So he plumped.
Because there's
out. Boxes
on the couches.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere. There's nowhere to sit. I barely have a place to sit.
What I mean.
And I didn't have. I wasn't in the mood to go through stuff. I'll do it maybe after the show. Whatever.
I almost stood on the vent.
Yeah. Oh, so wait a minute. So one of the sales guys, like I said, I had about 18 visitors that never came to see me before. So a sales guy comes in, and he looks at the office, and he goes, why don't you put the couch up on the vent?
That's what I thought.
And I thought, well, how would you get up there to sit?
They could build a stair. They could build
it. Look like some kind of weird game show.
Stadium seating, yeah.
Yeah, that, right. That's like the skybox. Come and sit in the skybox. Oh, God. And then another salesman, can you help me out with this client? This poor guy comes in every 3 days. Can you help me out? I go, Tom.
He's already limping.
Yeah. I think he's the first one to go on Friday if he wants to come up there. And
so I did just talk.
Yeah.
The 22nd is not a go on
here
Friday. But it's in the works.
In the works. Everything's in the works.
I'm sure they're finding a day when it's going
to
rain.
I said to him.
It's supposed to be too nice on Friday.
I said to him.
The weather's going
to be
too
nice. All right. So he rolled that out. Oh, I'd love to do that. Yeah. We'll just do the show upstairs.
Were there supposed to be listeners involved?
I think
we're
going to invite listeners.
And
I said, can we do it this Friday then? Because he mentioned Friday. He goes, yeah, I think we can. I go, let's do it.
We're on the screen.
Here's the update. Everything's complicated.
Well, they're sure like making you, letting you go to an exotic locations.
Up the elevator. Yeah. Ravinia's out, but Ravinia's the 22nd floor, still good.
But I saw an email from the contact at Ravinia.
That said what?
That said, I heard you're looking for a new date.
Oh, again, anything's possible or not possible.
Yeah.
It shifts every day.
Oh. That's too funny.
But I would like to do it, and even if we have to go up a little early and tape, and tape delay it, because that might be, I'd still do it, because I love going there to do the show. So I will pursue that. But it's business as usual.
Oh, man.
But it was so funny, because Pete McMurray came in. You want to see my office? Sure. Oh, Pete.
I mean, is there any light in there?
Only what Thomas Edison put together.
But did you? I mean, are they going to have
no
desk lights?
Window.
Right. So it's
so once he shuts the door, I would be so claustrophobic.
Oh,
it's
man.
Not that big.
No.
And just the fact that there's no window. Plus, the other offices.
It deserves a bare light bulb hanging from the middle of the room.
Oh, yeah.
That's all that.
Oh, yeah. It looks like
deserves.
A concentration camp, like, you know, a torture room.
Okay. How big is Steve Cochran's office? Well, he's still in the same one up on the seventh floor.
Oh, yeah.
I did something where I didn't do the right thing somewhere. Right? Is that what I did? What did
well,
I,
everybody,
what
well,
I didn't?
What
I
like,
didn't do?
No, what I like.
What
every,
I didn't do?
Everybody, what's been fun for me is to see how everybody is trying to put, you know, wrapping on this. Like, oh, you know, Gary's got the old chief engineer's office. That was a nice office.
Well, again, compared to the other ones, get this. And this is an idea that I think I threw to them when I first started here. They have these windows that go out onto the plaza there,
right.
Whatever that's called. Republican Plaza or
Pioneer Court.
Pioneer Court.
And they get a lot of foot traffic, and I said, you should put at least the pictures of everybody on the air and advertise us, because that's about the only billboard we're going to get.
Right.
So they did do that for a while. Then they realized that they could maybe sell that to clients, and I think that's what they're doing. But right now, in the other offices, they have these big scrims that are promoting that
the Walk of Fame.
Okay, that's their prerogative to do that, but you cannot see out when you're in the office
it's
through
dark.
Those.
It's dark.
They have one in my office, but it's for the restaurant next door, Howell's and Hood.
Oh.
But you can see through that one.
Can people see in, though?
I don't think they can.
Okay.
When I'm putting the show together, I'm thong all the way. I'm
well,
thong.
At least they're brand new thongs.
Yes.
And
just
some
got
very
them.
Clean socks.
Just got them. But that, again, you got the window, but now you can't even see through it in the other ones.
Well, apparently the big perk of your office is the fact that you have built-in file cabinets.
That was the file cabinet from my other office. They just put them downstairs.
I know, but they're saying how it's built in the wall.
Wow.
That's the big perk.
Well, and your producer gets a closet of their own.
They built, I have to say, again, I hope this isn't coming
which
off
producer?
Like complaining.
Which producer?
Well, whoever that is, he's going to have that new closet. Jim Key or Key Craig or whatever this combo producer. And we're going to give you more people to help you with your show. Really?
Creeth.
Chief Creeth. And they built a little area for Craig, the producer, and then he proceeded to lock himself in because the lock is reversed.
It was a closet. It was literally
a
closet.
What happened, Craig? Tell me what happened when you went in there the first time.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to check out the studio the first time we're down there, and I closed the door to see what that feels like, because it is a closet.
What does this feel like to come out of the closet?
It's locked, and it's locked in reverse from what a normal door is, so if you're inside, you can't get out.
Can't get out.
Because it was a closet.
Right.
And you wouldn't need a lock inside a closet.
Right, because people wouldn't go in there.
How long were you locked in there?
25 minutes.
And
you were calling people.
I was calling whoever I thought was at the station.
There's really nobody down here.
Oh, yeah, there was no one in the area. I was banging the door.
Who
no one
let
heard
you
that.
Out?
Patty Vasquez finally came and got
me. That's why. That is
and
his
now
reward.
That right.
He gets to produce her show. Something like that.
Wow, that's too funny. Yeah, I was really shocked, though, to see. And I heard that they literally moved you down. All
it doesn't matter. I mean, if it was this morning at 5 a.m., it doesn't matter. It
yeah,
was
but
all
you were
in
gone
there.
A week.
I know, but it wouldn't have changed anything. All of the stuff is still the way it would have been if it was last week or yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's all in there. It's just that I got to unpack it. They can't unpack it because they don't know where to put all my goofy stuff.
So they had to cut your desk from your old office to this one?
I think, and they had to cut it when they brought it up.
Because they cut it the last time.
Last time.
Definitely.
And if we keep moving, I'm going to be in a Pee Wee Herman setup pretty soon.
Well, maybe that caller's right. Maybe you are Bob Cratch.
That's the Uber Cubs fan. No, it's actually, again, considering all the offices I've seen,
no,
not bad.
Definitely.
And it's just bad now because it's a mess.
Plus, I mean, you're going to put stuff on the walls.
Yeah.
It's kind of that uniform battleship gray kind of
look.
Oh,
wait a minute. It was gray. I got them to paint it the same color that my office was here. It's not. That's that cream color that was upstairs. It was gray, and I said, hey, can you at least paint it?
Oh, really?
Who wants gray?
Oh, I know. It's very depressing.
Gray.
Very depressing. And especially because there is not a lot of light going on there with those scrims in the windows and even in that hallway. It's kind of a very narrow hallway.
Yeah,
I don't care how much light
there. It's very submarine-like.
Yes, it's very
down there.
Yes. So.
That was the last piece of office and corridor they could save, aside from the showcase studio. They saved a section, and then the rest went to the restaurant.
Yeah,
that's all they could save.
And that was basically just a hallway with a few little offices there that led to the showcase studio.
Right.
So now you could see everybody going into the showcase studio. Just make sure they said before.
You know, when you move, the first or second day, usually, you go to the old house.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
As I'm walking down the hallway, whoop, got to make a right here.
Make sure you make a right.
Make a right.
There should be a sign there that says, Gary, take a right.
Take a right.
And then, you know, I mean, it's not that, once again, these are definitely, you know, first world problems, but in the old office that you just had, when you would record your opens, because you record those
right
openings,
across the hall with
it
Duffy.
Was literally four steps from your door into Duffy's
that's
studio.
That's good, because if you're running a little late,
right.
Sometimes it's just
so now you're gonna. I think you're gonna have to readjust your schedule.
I think I do,
because you have to go up seven flights.
It's the worst.
No, but my point is. But that's a 10-15 minute
I wanted
that you
to
don't have.
I asked because I heard from Craig initially that they could put a microphone in his area so I could just record with Duffy right there, but I guess they can't do that.
Oh.
So we'll figure it out.
Why? They could do something for Jobo at his house.
Wait a minute. If they can hook Jobo up in Freeport,
then why can't they?
Why can't they hook something up seven floors away?
So he didn't even want to sit at his kitchen table and do little intros to shake it up by the cars.
These radio duos that can't get along.
Wow.
I'm so sick of them.
And it's hard to really relate, isn't it?
Yeah. I just couldn't believe when you told me the numbers that they were going to make.
I mean, now I don't know if these are true.
To
I just
play
saw these.
The Four Seasons into Green Tambourine.
Because what are they, oldies?
Yeah, right?
Is that what it is, FM?
Yeah, I think they are.
FM? Yeah, I don't know how old. I don't know what an oldie is anymore, though. You know,
anything prior to 2010.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, and that's why Eddie was beside himself. He was like, who turns this down?
Hey.
And he did. Jobo said, I need serenity, man. I just need to be, I need peace.
But what was the deal breaker if they had been talking and got this close?
He kept vacillating. He kept
but
saying, okay.
But it sounded like it was just there, and then something blew it up.
Well, finally they said, what are you going to do? Because he kept saying yes and no, and yes and no, and yes and no. They kept coming back at him, and then he would say yes, and then he would change his mind. And they finally must have said, look, yes or no. We can't keep floating here. We have to make a decision, so let's make a decision. And he said no. And Eddie said that now he's got his agent
shopping him
as a solo.
Well, why can't he do the introduction of the Doobie Brothers and stuff by himself?
I don't know. No, they want a team.
But they don't do anything.
They want
a team to do what?
They don't want just Eddie. So how do you feel now if you're Eddie?
Well,
I mean, that's
Eddie's
going
to come to my 22nd floor broadcast, and he'll be the first jumper. How about that?
I mean, poor Eddie. I mean, Eddie still, regardless of whatever you say, he's been in this market for 30 years, and has been successful. Has Jobo been that much of a
I don't understand
of a thing for him that he can't do? He can't. Do
well,
that by yourself?
I have to say, I had that same kind of reaction when I went out on my own. When you're with somebody for a number of years, they think, and maybe rightly so in some cases, but you are categorized as that.
Yeah.
And until you break out of that, that's what you're going to be. Because people in this business, they're not, a lot of the people that run these stations aren't the greatest thinkers. They have a tunnel vision, and it stays there, and they don't move off it.
Yeah, because Eddie is just beside himself. He cannot believe this is happening. First of all, he probably can't believe the money they threw at them. And secondly, he can't believe they turned it down.
Here's the scary part. They were making $1.5 million each when they were on B96 playing music.
For how many years?
Yeah. For playing music.
Right.
Seriously.
That's why
I'm
playing more music. People want to hear the music.
The music.
I never listened. Did they do like little vignettes in between?
I can't tell you I've heard more than 3 minutes
like
of Eddie Jobo.
They had characters or anything, right?
Are they going to be able to keep the United Auto Insurance commercial?
Oh, please.
See, you know, why? So, you know, I still see them doing that. Why will Jobo want to do that and not just roll out of bed
okay.
for 3 hours? And now
right.
he can go back to sleep at 9.
All right. I can give you dozens of examples of why people don't want to do something.
God.
You just think, because you're you, that this is just a cakewalk, and a lot of people would think that. But that's, I'm not going to comment like you would comment because I can't get inside the head.
I understand.
Which one is not coming back?
Jobo.
Jobo.
The one who goes on the phone.
On the phone.
On the phone. I could have even done my show on the phone. And I didn't want to.
But he didn't want to do it. That's
no.
it. But I don't think that's as much a weird thing as how much they would make just to play music. And that's why when I hear these complaints sometimes from people about how much money is being made, and I look at some of the people that have made certain amounts of money doing what they do, I think, okay, I'm underpaid.
And who
Thank
was,
you.
And who was calling for them to come back?
WLSFL.
But I mean, you know, it's like, see, you know, all they are doing is how much would they be talking? Like, what
That's,
do they usually
again,
play?
What I don't get, they play dozens of records
if
an hour.
If you play an hour on a music station,
they
what?
They play at least, because those songs are all 2 minutes long.
So what,
probably
35, 40 minutes? Of music?
Plus commercial. Wait,
yeah.
You talk for all of...
Top of the hour.
Spartans! What is your profession?
That's it. 4 o'clock in the Midwest, back from vacation. Some people have been texting, are you live? Is this live? I held up the newspaper at 3.
Prove it.
84 wounded.
4 dead.
15 dead or whatever it was. Well, all of them were wounded. Some of them more than wounded.
Correct.
You all start off wounded. Yeah. Some of them go beyond wounded.
Right. We had a new fatality added to the list. A guy
really?
Who was part of the wounded became one of the dead.
16 or 15?
So it's 15.
It's still 15.
82 shootings. 15 fatals.
This is ridiculous.
So what's the pool on McCarthy's next heart attack?
Yeah, I think it's... Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you again.
Oh, you big dummy.
I already did that an hour ago. You know my solution,
yeah.
Which is... It's not the solution you're going to want to hear because it's going to take decades. But... I'm selling the teddy bears and the candles and the posters and the Mylar balloons, so I'm happy.
But you're making out like a bandit.
Like that does anything. Kind of trivializes the whole situation. You've got something this horrific, and then you put a candle and a stuffed animal there. That'll do it. That's a nice Band-Aid.
And it's obviously not doing anything.
No. And then they're going to have these marches down the streets of some of these neighborhoods. They'll have the local reverend.
We've already heard from Father Flager yesterday.
And Jesse Jackson already said how the...
And what are they doing beyond that?
Things have got to change.
Yeah.
This
sure
is
they
all
do.
About guns. And,
and we have to get jobs back.
Right.
Give people hope.
Yeah. And how do we do that?
That they don't know.
That's where they should be spending their time. Figuring
hey,
out where
the
they...
the Mylar balloons.
You know, if I would...
Start making Mylar balloons and stuffed animals.
Wouldn't you just love to really sit down with Jesse Jackson and say, okay, you've been doing this for 50 years. What do you have to show? Because today is worse than, I mean, yes, rights and all that type of stuff. But in terms of the daily life of the...
In the trenches
in the African-American community, life has to be 1,000 times worse because you've got civilians now. Before, you know... It was like the mafia. You know, they were killing each other. But now civilians...
Gang. Right. Innocent people are being killed.
Are getting killed. And you have to be afraid to walk out your door.
Yes.
You have to be.
Although, generally, I want to say that the number of murders is down tremendously over the numbers we used to rack up in the 70s and 80s. But like you said, they were shooting each other. Those
right.
were strictly gang
turf
wars.
Right.
And
this
there
is,
was money involved.
This kid who was... shot off his bike, was that he was looking for somebody or just in a group of people?
Well, who knows? They're always in a group of people. I don't know if they were actually targets or I don't know.
I like how when they
in
use
the
that.
In the one case, the guy started shooting people up because they put a pop, like a glass of pop on his car, and he got ticked off over that and just started opening.
Yeah. That's the reaction. They're carrying guns, and there's no, hey, take that can of pop off my car. Or some pushing and shoving, it's just go right to the weapon because you have it.
Well, and McCarthy, I can't believe you said this.
Wait a minute. You have to go? Oh, okay.
Oh, is there a
do you have time to do your stuff?
If you want me to do a quick
Leslie
one
Leslie was
right
giving
here.
The I got to go sign. And go ahead.
Are the Cubs playing?
How many times have I said, when is that going to happen?
And it
during
has.
One of these.
They.
I'm surprised it has not happened before with the way they shoved that food in.
And they canceled a pie-eating contest that was scheduled for the next day.
Although Joey Chestnut did win, the Nathans won on 4th of July. 8 years in a row.
How many hot dogs?
Oh, he didn't. You know, last year he set the record at 69. I could see this year he wasn't doing as well. He did win, but he only got 61.
How do you, in 10 minutes?
In 10 minutes.
How do you do that?
Oh, it was.
I watch it, and I go, where is it going? How do you get that down? And in this case, it doesn't. And the guy chokes to death.
And you could see they're sweating.
Oh, yeah.
And the veins in their head.
I hope so.
They did a thing on ESPN before the actual event to show how your stomach, for him to eat, like, say, 69 hot dogs, is 20,000 calories. So he's eating 20,000 calories in 10 minutes. They showed how your stomach, they had a torso with a rubber stomach. And the guy shoved 69 hot dogs and buns down this throat and into this rubber stomach. And the thing was about...
It looked like Paul Newman and Cool Hand Luke.
Unbelievable.
I can eat 50 eggs.
It was unbelievable. It was disgusting.
Does he purge, do you think, after?
I don't know.
I'm sure some of these people do.
They never. Well, I don't know. That's
you've never
question.
Asked him? When did you see him?
No, I mean, they've never asked him.
And if you do see him, please ask.
Joey, do you purge?
Joey, what do you do? Do you purge? Do you leave it in there?
And then, of course, I think Joey, he put a little too much pressure on himself because before the actual match, he proposed to his girlfriend. So he was.
There's going to be a Mrs. Chestnut.
There's going to be a Mrs. Chestnut.
Imagine him coming home to meet the parents.
Yeah.
What do you do? I'm a competitive eater.
I'm a competitive eater. I, 8 years, I got the yellow mustard belt.
How much did he win?
I don't even know how much he wins. Not that much.
There is a cash prize.
Like 25 right. grand. I mean, it's nothing crazy.
Well, for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I guess. Well,
tell me where you can make 25,000 in 10 minutes, yeah. Aside from Eddie and Jobo.
That's not going to get past you, is the Eddie and Jobo thing.
No, I just, you know how I like to look at the radio duos and see how they're managing.
But he does say, because I did see, you know, before the event, this is all he does. He does not do anything else.
Okay, then it is
just
a living.
Yeah, he makes a living.
25,000, if that's in fact the number. Craig, look that up. See what Joey makes, will you?
Joey Chestnut.
A winning
competition. See how much they, at the, because, I mean, the Nathan's hot dog thing, that's the big one. You know, now there are these other ones where they eat, you know, meatballs and fish
sure.
tacos.
There's one
and,
going on every yeah. week somewhere.
Well, it was a big, this was a big deal because the guy that came in second and for a while was actually beating Joey Chestnut is this 21-year-old guy named Stoney, and he beat Joey in Euros.
Okay. They have their own categories yeah. that they're better at.
He beat him in Euros and some kind of taco.
Oh.
So they were like, you know, he could pull an upset today because he has beat him in Euros.
I don't know how people can eat like that.
Oh,
I know that's yeah. your living, and I guess you adapt to it. But watching them just makes me sick.
Well, he said that he fasted for about 2 days. Before he said, I'm all clean, got
great.
Nothing in there. And they showed him, so I guess he does have to train for this. So they showed him training. And so, ironically, he's eating
when
like
he's, 69
when he's not competing. Hot dogs.
I'm eating when I'm not competing.
Yeah, he's still eating. And then I don't know, does he get rid of that immediately?
How much did he make, Craig? He told me in my headphones, 61 hot dogs. We already knew that. I want to know how much he won.
How much money did he win?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the
for
price?
That.
But
even take yourself.
Oh.
Say you're really hungry. At a certain point, you can't eat anymore.
No.
And it's not 61 hot dogs. I'm out way before then.
I don't know. How.
We went to a Pirates game last Wednesday. Wife and daughter go get some food. They come back. I had two hot dogs. I said, we have an extra. Do you want one? I go, I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, they're really good.
I
couldn't. I wanted to, but I couldn't.
I mean, obviously they're stretching their stomach, and what they said is that there is a reaction, that there is something that your brain sends, or your stomach sends to your brain that says, I'm full, stop. And they say these people bypass that. They whatever that is. By eating so much, they disconnect it to the point where that doesn't click on it.
How are gyros, as I call them, served.
I don't know if they wet those too, because have you ever seen the hot dog competition? Because they actually don't eat the hot dog with the bun. You have to eat a hot dog in a bun.
But they soak
officially.
It, right?
They take the bun, they dip it in water, and then they eat the bun, and they just take the hot dog.
And
they
shove
take
it
two
in.
Hot dogs, two at once, and they jam one on each side of their teeth, and then they're just pushing them in. And then they take, and so they, the reason why they actually say that this is a good way is because by dunking that bun in the water, it gives them the liquid to get those hot dogs down.
Still, I don't know how other people haven't choked to death before this guy this weekend. Because it's going in so fast. Have you ever started choking?
Yeah, it's very scary.
It is fast, and it is beyond frightening.
I had a bay leaf one time stuck, and that is, I mean, I thought, you think you're going to die.
Yeah. And it's really fast.
It's very scary.
Very fast.
Yeah.
And when everything starts shutting down, your heart starts beating, and it's crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know how these people bypass that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they showed him at the at his home, and he or wherever he was, and he's practicing. And I'm sitting there going, okay, so you just ate 50 hot dogs in 7 minutes, whatever you're training. Where's that going? I mean, the funny thing is they showed a picture of him from when he won his first one. And, I mean, he's 30 years old now. He's older. He is heavier. He was like a rail before. So, I mean, he's starting to get a little older.
Well, if you're taking in 20,000 calories in 10 minutes, that'll do it.
They said that by eating that much and so fast, if he were on a desert island, he could go for 4 months. His body,
without eating.
Yeah, his body has enough calories that he would not have to eat for 4 months.
I hope he tells his future wife's parents that when they are talking about what his accomplishments are.
Yeah.
If we're ever on a desert island with no food, I can go 4 months. Yeah. Your daughter, I don't know.
Well, she did say yes, but I think he had other things on his mind. I don't think he was that...
you know, by the way, he makes $200,000 a year doing
this. Does he? Yeah, because he said he quit. This is what he does for a living. Now.
I got a text here that says, Joey Chestnut, net worth, $800K.
Net worth, see? So I wonder how much... We still don't know how much he got for... But, you know.
Well, Craig said in my headphones between 10 and 20 Gs.
For that, yeah. Well, he said, because I guess he used to work construction or something. And he said, you know, this is not what I want to do forever. I do plan to get back into construction management. But for right now, he said, this is what I'm doing.
I think you're not going to make as much money doing anything besides this.
I mean, he should hopefully invest that money well.
Well, I'm sure he is.
And why bother to do anything else? Because
well, this is working. This text at 312-521-8600 says that his girlfriend is also a competitive eater. And he blamed the weather on his inability to beat his record.
Well, it was raining. Yeah, I don't see, but I don't, to me, I thought that was going to be a good thing, because then the buns would get wet. You wouldn't need to dunk them. But he said something about the weather. But I watch it once a year. I watch that. I don't watch his competitive eating, but I've seen him in the past, and he didn't look like he had any, he didn't have like a rhythm. He looked like he was...
We all have our off days.
Yeah, he just didn't look right, and I thought this other kid was going to beat him.
Again, how is the gyro served? Is it a sandwich? How is that?
Oh, I didn't see gyro. I just saw hot dog.
I'm trying to... I've seen the big...
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, well, once again, you have to have all the ingredients. Now, whether you eat them all, I don't think... I bet you with the gyro, they probably dipped the pita and just scarfed down the meat.
Dip the pita, scarf down the meat. That's your summer phrase that pays. Dip the pita, scarf down the meat.
What else are you going to do? And then top it off with the tzatziki sauce.
Yeah. That would seem like a bigger danger as far as choking, because that meat is not where you can crunch it up real easily.
No, I mean, these hot dogs, they pretty much, they shove them in their mouths, and they're chewing them, shoving two in at one time, and then their cheeks are like, you know, they're just like a chipmunk, and then they throw that.
How many people are competing at the same time?
I think they probably had at least 10 to 15. Now there was a guy from Chicago that's usually always there. Can't remember his name. He always had a mohawk. He was always for a few years. He was being thrown up as the no pun intended.
He was
the guy that was going to unseat. But this guy Joey Chestnut is, because he actually there was this Japanese guy named Kobayashi. And he was the big guy. And then Joey Chestnut knocked him out, and this guy got so mad that Joey Chestnut beat him that he stopped competing against him. So there was a lot of turmoil in the competitive eating world.
It's international turmoil.
Yeah.
I wonder if this happens in other countries, or is this a very American thing? Because I know Nathan's is famous, and they've been doing this for decades,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the one in Coney Island. That's where they do it, in Coney Island. But the woman, they had the woman that they now they actually, instead of, because it probably was unfair, they used to just have men and women together. And so the guys were always beating the women. So now they have a women's category, and then they have a men's. And this one woman that is the main woman, her name, she's a Japanese woman, and she's called the Black Widow. It's just like wrestling. I mean, it's totally like wrestling.
Why would a male and female be different in their eating?
Well, don't you think that a guy can eat more than a woman?
I think it's about equal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen women that could eat me under the table.
Oh, no, I don't know, she had beaten him in, once again, like meatballs. Like, there's certain foods for some reason that they can be, like, he's good in hot dogs. And then he holds the record in, you know, whatever, shrimp. So when you watch the show.
What about pies? Who is the pie king?
I don't even think they do pies, to be honest with you, because they're doing everything else. It's
yeah, so Leslie talked about that guy who choked to death. They canceled the pie eating
the next day,
wherever that was.
Well,
pies was the one that
was
always featured in movies and stuff.
Right.
You'd see those big guys, their face would be all with the blueberry gree-gree.
Yeah, Stand By Me. Remember they told you?
That's where it was, yeah.
He was eating the, they had your hands behind
your
back.
The pie eating, that used to be the thing everybody saw.
Yeah, but this is so funny because ESPN, they signed to televise this Nathan's thing through 2024. So this is no.
And this is on the 4th of July.
4th of July, 11 o'clock, live from Coney Island.
So here you are. You're already stupid.
Right.
You've been drinking since 9 a.m.
Right. And now,
11
o'clock, I'm putting on. I watch.
And then you go
end.
Out in the backyard when it is almost dark and start
right.
blowing off things.
Right. And but it's so funny because ESPN treats this like it's legit. You know, so they have all the stats and all the graphics just like they would for a baseball game. And so then they show the two faces of this guy, this other guy, Stoney and Joey Chestnut. They're running down this stuff, and it's like, you know, like I said, meatballs, shrimp,
yeah.
tacos. It's like
gyros.
Gyros.
And all these different categories.
Yeah, and it's just so silly, but for an hour, it's harmless entertainment.
The top three are in the money, or is it broader than that?
I think so, because they get a they gave him a trophy, so they must give him some money, too. They announced the top three guys, so maybe they do.
Imagine if you're the one that ate 50 hot dogs,
nothing.
And you're out of the money.
I know.
So now you got, I don't know, 8,000 calories in you.
For
nothing
to show for. Well, I think the third guy had like 34. So these other two guys are like so, they're head and shoulders ahead of him.
I don't know how they do it, but that's a good way to make a living if you can do it.
So you said somebody says he has 800,000.
It said here on this text that his net worth is 800K. Well, he's been doing it a long time, and if you think about it, if he pulled in 15-20 on Friday,
right.
And he probably does another one this week somewhere.
He does five or six of these a year?
Yeah, 800K.
Well, that's true, because he's won it 8 years in a row now, so he probably makes about 100,000 a year. That's probably the way they... You know,
Joey Chestnut, net worth and salary. Joey Chestnut is an American competitive eater with a net worth of $800,000. He was born November 25th, 1983. Got his start in the world of competitive eating in 2005 while he was still a student at San Jose State. One of his first major events was an asparagus eating competition. During this competition, Joey came in first place after eating nearly 6.5 pounds of deep-fried asparagus in just 11.5 minutes. From there, he entered the world-famous Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, where he placed third, having swallowed 32 hot dogs. Chestnut's eating star continued to rise, defeating Sonia Thomas in the Waffle House World Waffle Eating Championship in 2005.
And
the Nathan's deal earned his eighth straight victory, eating 61 hot dogs and buns. His all-time record is 69, as you mentioned.
Of course, the graphic that they show is HDB, hot dog and buns.
Hot dog and buns. Throughout the year, Joey's weight fluctuates between 210 and 225. His current goal is to consume 70 hot dogs in one competition. He holds the record for eating hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, he has, what, did he have like 8?
141 in 8 minutes.
That's a lot more than Paul Newman.
Bratwurst, 70 in 10 minutes. Matzo balls, 78 in 8 minutes. And then hot dogs.
See, that's what I mean. So now they show his picture, and underneath it, it says matzo balls, asparagus.
Steak, 4.5 pounds plus sides in under 9 minutes. Pork ribs, 13.76 pounds in 12 minutes. And that asparagus record. Hey, sweet money if you can do it.
Did you guys talk about the romantic element of this year's
competition? He's getting married. And
yeah.
I guess the future Mrs. Chestnut is a competitive eater also. That's what it said in his text.
So where do they go out to dinner?
Yeah. And are they done in about 3 minutes? Check, please. We won't hold the table very long.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think his mind was in on it. I think, you know, he was too taken with the moment of that.
Oh. It's too bad.
Because he actually got down on one knee and...
Well, at least he did it before he started eating.
Oh, she was right in front of him then by the table. Because they have this long table, like a dais. And she was right in front of him. She's like, you know, cheering him on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
Swallow.
chew.
Here's Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. And, wow, it's already 4:22.
Hour and 22 minutes
and
without a break.
Considering all the iced tea I've had today, I think I need to go and make some water, Miss Daisy.
And the iced water?
And the iced water. That was, you're bringing up some memories now.
Oh, you got to love
that.
It's
a bonus.
That was...
Will we be invited to that?
A Christmas party in the hallway here. This was 2 management teams ago, I think.
Yeah.
And they had a Christmas breakfast in the hallway of the
literally,
office.
Literally
in the hallway. Set up some tables. And they passed around the menu. And one of the items featured was iced water.
Iced water.
That was a special highlighted item.
Not just water.
No. Iced water.
This was no shabby little outfit
no,
here.
No. Okay, back in just a few minutes on the dot. Scott Stantis returns tomorrow at 5 o'clock for the caption contest. I have a copy of tomorrow's cartoon, and I just glanced at it, so I'm going to have to just plow in and ask questions. It is what looks like the back of Rahm Emanuel's head. He's looking at some portraits of William Ogden, and he was a former mayor, right? Wasn't
yes.
he former mayor of Chicago? And then there's another one, Buckner Morris. He was a former mayor?
Buckner yep. Morris.
When was he mayor?
Mayor of Chicago for the Whig Party. Married Alvina Barker in 1832, moved to Chicago in 1834, blah, blah, blah. Died in 1879, so somewhere in
well,
there.
Well, that's what it is. That's all it
that's
is.
That's it?
And I don't know if this is anything. You know how Scott likes to, I don't want to say it's scribbling, it fills in different cartoons. And from the portrait of Buckner Morris, Rahm's hand has squiggles going from the bottom of the portrait. You're going to have to go to the Tribune website or my Facebook page. Is it posted on my Facebook page, Craig? And take a look at it and then provide a caption in the top 3 while I still have some muffs.
Oh,
send
there you
those
go.
Out. And
so is he maybe saying that he will be a forgotten mayor?
It's up to you. You want to join? You can't win a prize, but you can send some captions. The Gary Myers Show is my Facebook page, and that's where you send your captions. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, take a look at them and go from there.
He had a biting cartoon today about Obama. He does not like Obama.
Well, Scott is pretty much a card-carrying Republican.
Somebody needs to remind Obama that he's not the king.
And what's the cartoon?
Well, he's dressed up like a jester, and, you know, he's going to get sued by Boehner because he's overstepping. Boehner contends that he's overstepping his powers, and he's acting like a tyrant and a king. So he's got, like, the jester outfit.
All right, but that's not the one for the contest.
No, but
that's already got a caption. The story I opened the show with about this guy who's suing for $10 million because he was at a ball game.
Oh, and he was sleeping.
And they took a picture of him during the game sleeping. It's this guy, 26-year-old Yankees fan, fell asleep during a game in April. An ESPN cameraman lingered on his snoozing face, and 2 announcers launched into a diatribe that included the words stupor, stupid, fatty, and unintelligent. That according to a $10 million lawsuit that has been filed against the Yankees, Major League Baseball, ESPN, and the two announcers, John Crook and Dan Shulman, claiming defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Shulman and Crook said no such words in the clip. Shulman did, however, call him oblivious, though it's unclear whether they commented on the fourth inning nap later. This complaint is filled with misspellings and odd turns of phrases. An example from the filing, John Crook, in his verbal attack, insinuated that the plaintiff is an individual that know neither history nor understood the beauty or rivalry between Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees. That's how it's written. In his suit, he argues that the defendants presented false facts about him, including plaintiff is not worthy to be fan of the New York Yankee. Plaintiff is a fatty cow that need two seats at all time and represent symbol of failure. His mother says after the incident that he has been so bad he's had to miss work.
Oh, you don't want your mom being the one that you go to.
Doesn't it say on the ticket that you might be on camera?
Well, I don't think I think it's the fact of what they said about him. It's not that he's...
Well, they claim he did. They didn't say that about him. They looked at the clip, and they didn't say that about him.
Oh. Well...
But as far as sleeping at a ball game, as I said in the opening, that's why I go. Because I get my best napping done there. Nice. That whole, well, at least when I would watch the games on Channel 9 with Jack Brickhouse after school.
Right.
Somebody spoke and I fell into a dream. It was so hypnotic. The ticker tape and his tone and what was not going on the field. And within 3-5 minutes, I was in a coma. And I liked that. So I don't think this guy has any lawsuit here.
And then the best was... In the press box, you could hear the microphone in the background, and they would be telling, they'd be like, attendance, 14,700. Yeah. Then you hear Jack go, attendance, 14,000. Yeah.
Those were the days. That's why I watched, just to get some nice napping in.
Remember that Seinfeld episode where they go to the tennis match, and George is eating a ice cream cone, and they show him on television
right.
And make fun of him? This is exactly
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But is it $10 million worth?
I don't think George sued them, but...
But I think it states right on the ticket that you might be on camera. I haven't read the back of a ticket lately, but it seems to me that it does. Maybe somebody can tell me, 312-521-8600.
Have you seen the video?
No.
Because, I mean, the guy is like, he's got his arms stretched over two empty seats, his head's on the side, he's kind of drooling. I mean, it's like he's out. It is a pretty funny picture.
All right, but that's what they do at all these ball games.
Oh, yeah.
They look for people that are doing goofy stuff,
Or
in this case, just sleeping, and then you have some fun because there's a lot of dragging time during a baseball game.
A lot of time between pitches.
Yeah, they should have a clock. I noticed that when I was at the Pirates game, and I've noticed it before. These guys that get out of the batter's box, they readjust everything. You didn't do anything. Just stay in the box.
Well, they're trying to find
10 seconds.
They're trying to find ways to speed up the games because today's generation are used to fast-paced stuff, and these games, they say that the pitch, you know, they're trying to speed up the pitchers because a lot of times the pitchers will do their own routine. They'll step off the thing. They'll click their heels. They'll move the dirt. They'll hit
How about
their cap.
This? During the Pirates-Diamondbacks game, the Diamondbacks pitcher tried to pick off the Pirate on first base about 18 times.
He kept fans throwing. Are totally booing.
Oh, this was they were losing.
Right.
Diamondbacks were losing. It was late in the game.
Yeah.
Just get it over with.
Right, come on.
And he
go.
Kept throwing. I think they do that just to PO the fans. Because
right.
It was really ridiculous.
Although that place is a lot of energy.
Yeah,
because
they
have a lot of those big videos blasting and a lot, you know, that place is rocking a lot of times in
it
between
is,
innings.
Again, if you're a baseball fan and you really like the best parks that you can go to, that would be one of the best you can go to.
Did you have good weather when you were there?
Beautiful.
So
beautiful
night.
Night
game?
Night game.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful when at night?
And the Pittsburgh skyline in the background, it almost looks like you're in a movie.
Did you see, what side were you sitting on?
We were sitting on
the third base side. Did you see, there looked like a big flat screen television on one
top
of
a building.
What was that?
I, I didn't notice it until it got dark, and then I thought, it looks like a low-resolution screen, but I couldn't make out what it was top of a building. I don't know what it was.
We sat there the whole game going, what is that screen?
Again, until it gets dark, you can't even see it, and then when it's dark, you can barely see it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But they did a magnificent job, and it makes you think about, and I know they had a meeting, I guess last night, with some of the neighbors in Wrigleyville about what the Cubs want to do, and the neighbors, of course, don't want them to do anything. And you think about what you see in these other smaller cities, that they get things done, and here we sit. We can't give these people a scoreboard to pee in.
Now, you know that you, when you were gone, the... Now,
in fact, they do pee in the one we have. That's the problem.
They have a bucket.
They have a bucket. I've been up there.
While you were gone, the rooftops did concede.
To what?
They said, because now, don't forget, the Cubs now came back and said, hey, if you're going to sue us, you might as well go for broke and put up 7 signs, right? So that's the latest thing up there now. The rooftop said, if we will agree to not to sue you if you go back to the original plan from last year of the 2 signs.
And the Cubs said?
The Cubs said no. You already said no to that. So who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
We might as well go for broke now. So now they didn't want the 2 signs. The Cubs come back with the 7. Now they say the 2 would be okay, and the Cubs go too late.
This is a chicken or egg situation. Ballpark has been there way before, certainly most of the neighborhood, and of course before the neighborhood became what it is today. And it's a shame they just can't do what they need to do. It's a ballpark. No matter how much you try to get them not to do stuff, it's still going to be a ballpark 80-some games a year. It's been there 100 years. You have to deal with it. Wes?
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
South Bend. Hey, apparently we went to 2 different nights ball games, but we made Tuesdays, and the weather kept up, and you were right. That is one heck of a good place to catch a ball game.
Is this Wes from South Bend?
Yes.
Did you get my text?
No, huh?
I must have gotten the wrong number. I texted you to say we were going Wednesday.
I got that text. No.
Now I know why I didn't get a reply. First number I texted, I realized I texted the wrong number. So then I texted this next number. That wasn't your number either.
No, I didn't get anything from you. I just figured we must have went on different nights.
No, I know you were going on Tuesday, and we were going on Wednesday, but I still texted you to say that, and apparently I have the wrong number. But you did enjoy the experience.
Yeah, we sat in the 300 section between home plate and first base. So, you know, it's up there. We're facing the bridges and that. I mean, heck of a view and really, really good people at that ballpark. We were surrounded by some really nice folks and just had a heck of a good time. I mean, it was really
great. How much did you pay for your tickets?
You know, I got them on a site similar to StubHub. It's called TickPick, I think, if I remember correctly. And it was like $5 a ticket plus a $5 service fee. So I had $25 for 4 tickets.
4 tickets, $25. Get this.
Yeah.
So my wife goes the day before right to the box office because she was downtown. She got 4 tickets for us in the 100 section, probably 12 rows back from the wall, $40 a piece. I don't think you get a bleacher seat at Wrigley for 40, can you?
They are 40.
They're 40 in the bleachers.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. These were primo tickets the day before, and it could not have been nicer. $40.
Wow, you're talking premium seats. I mean, if you'd asked me, I thought ours had been premium, but I haven't been to a lot of ball games. But, of course, you were much closer to the action. But kids loved it. I loved it. The wife was happy. It was great.
Yeah, it's a beautiful park. They did a great job in assembling that. They took all the elements from parks that were popular around the country and put them in one park. So the wall behind home plate, that's because of Wrigley's wall.
I remember you said that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is neat, but we were asked a vendor for where our seats were, and he was selling 24-ounce cans of beer. And I said, hey, well, you know, I'll pay you for your trouble. Let me buy one of those beers. Tell me where our seats are. He says, sure, $10.75. Whoa.
Well, the prices, prices are still going to be concession prices.
Yeah, there's no coupons involved there. But I was waiting for $8, $9 and $10.75. Geez.
No, okay, Wes, you got to cut down on your drinking. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
How much you pay for parking?
Well, we walked. We stayed down on Smallman Street at the Hampton Inn there, so we walked.
Okay.
It only took us 10, 12 minutes.
We pulled in about 20 minutes before the first pitch, right across the street, $25 in a nice lot right across the street.
Yeah, there you go. But you said you don't stay in Pittsburgh proper. You south, north, or how
we're,
far?
Yeah, we're south of the city.
Okay. So you still get a little stretch there.
Yeah, we drive in, but still, it was a beautiful night and had a great time.
Yeah, oh yeah, we did too. We went to Kennywood the day before, and my son just turned 10 on July 4th, and I thought, well, his first roller coaster is going to be so neat. And he informed me by halfway through the ride, he never wants to go to an amusement park again in his life. So I started calculating the money I'll save on that. And I could probably go back to a Pirates game and buy a lot of beer. So I think it was a good trip. I think we'll work out.
Kennywood is one of the oldest amusement parks in the country.
Clean as a pin. I mean, neat, nice. Yeah. Had a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hey, again, as far as a city of that size, can't beat it.
No, you really can't. It's a good time.
They're doing
a
good job. I mean, the city is percolating. In fact, yesterday McCartney was there at the arena where the Penguins play, and that's a fairly new arena, which I'd like to go see. I'd like to see our Hawks and Penguins there.
Yeah, that would be cool.
In fact, I was making plans to do the show if the Hawks had gone on to play the Penguins, but, of course, that didn't happen. And maybe next time, but I want to do that. And McCartney's here tomorrow. And he'll be up here reading his poetry. I don't write poetry.
Peace and love. That's right.
Anyway, I sent a text to somebody to say I wasn't going to be there Tuesday night. Somebody got my text.
Well, somebody. Yeah. Wasn't me, but
okay.
Thanks for trying.
Well, I did try.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. Love your show, Gary.
Wait a minute. I want to write this number to see what number I did call before you hang up.
Okay.
I just want to write this down. Okay.
Are you using your burner phone?
Burner phone. I have my Pac-Man phone on my back.
I see what I did wrong. I had one number wrong.
Oh, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. And you're off to the races. You're off to the races. All right, Wes, next time.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I texted him and got no response the first time. Then I realized wrong number. Texted him the correct number. That wasn't the right number either.
What was that that meal? They have a really good concessions there too, at that baseball stadium. Is it PN? What is it?
PNC Park. I think there are just a few companies probably in the whole country that run concessions in all the ballparks. I don't think it's the park decides.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay.
But
there was this one thing like crab something that I'd never seen anywhere before. So I don't know if that's an area, you know, delicacy or something. Something crab. Crab hot dogs or something? With something with crab that I didn't get, but...
But you thought, I'm experimenting.
Yeah.
I don't know if going to the ball game for crabs is what I want to do.
I know, that's why I was like, I don't think it was going to be the best place.
On a hot summer night, I don't know if I'm ready for the crabs.
Yeah, no, that's why I went for the good old hot dog.
Speaking of my burner phone, I upped the minutes while in Pittsburgh and saved $8 in taxes.
Oh, out there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because... They don't have the same tax structure, so I thought, there's $8 in my pocket. Why not?
Boy, you really take advantage of the tax structure.
There's something about it. It just feels good.
Like, what made you even think about that?
Because my minutes were going
to
be up over the weekend.
So you knew you had
to go.
And
I knew I wouldn't have any if I waited till I got back here, so I thought, okay, I want to see how much I can save. So I went to one of the kiosks around, and sure enough, saved myself $8. Hey, $8 here, $20 there. Start that up. And then you plow right into lottery tickets with that? Oh.
Do they have a lottery there?
Well, they have Mega and Powerball, too.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Powerball, $122
million. Yeah. What am I going to do with that?
What are you going to do with it? You're going to give it to me? Because you don't know what to do with it. Hey, Joe.
Hey, my phone's working.
She is. Hey, I got a text from Brian who set your deal up, and he said you were having trouble.
Yeah, yesterday I had trouble.
And he came over and fixed it?
Well, yes, it worked today, now, so far.
Okay, so you could hear everything loud and clear.
Right, but not, you know, I tell you, it's not as clear as it comes from the radio, though.
Well, you're going to start rubbing that again, and I can't do anything about it.
No, I mean, that's not either one, anybody's fault. It's a speaker.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing, Gare.
Yeah.
I bet you any money Steve Cochran's going to get Ravinia.
Oh, geez. People are now, this is all a nice little soap opera, isn't it?
Oh, I'm telling you.
I mentioned Ravinia earlier. I was going to be out there, but now they're not sure. But I don't think anybody but the afternoon show will be out there from the AM. Initially, they pitched it as I'm going to be there, and
trust me,
Pete McMurray was going to be there too, and he's not the afternoon host, but I don't. What?
Trust me.
What?
Steve will probably take off and work with Virginia in the afternoon.
I don't think so.
Why? He takes off for everything, for golf and everything.
I don't know, Joe. I'm just going to see what I can do here.
Yeah, I worked in a working place, and I got nursery. I wouldn't trust him.
Joe.
I'm telling you.
She is back. She's hooked up.
I'm telling you. Who got the Hawks?
What do you mean?
You used to do all the Hawks. He came on the air. You weren't doing the Hawks no more. He was.
I know, Joe. But we'll see how this shakes out. Let's just take our time and figure it out.
For your sake, I hope.
Yeah, it's, Joe, everything's fine.
You're making me nervous.
That's what I do. Even when I was on the AM, I made you nervous. Right?
Well, not really. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I sort of had a good time with it.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time with this.
I really did.
You're going to have as good a time. Don't worry about it.
But, you know, I enjoy it. I'm glad he... Well, see, I tried to get you yesterday, didn't I? Then when I did get something on, I don't know what I press or nothing. I tell you, this newfangled thing is supposed to make it easier.
You ended up turning your toaster on or something, right?
Toaster's fine. You put the toast bread in and push the button, it goes on.
Sure.
Not this. You got to push buttons.
Uh-oh.
A radio, just have to turn it on. You turn it off, make it loud. You want to change the station.
It will be, in the not-too-distant future, it will be as easy as what you have on AM and FM now.
Hey, wait till you get that iPhone.
I know. I say that, but I'm on a burner phone. What am I talking about?
You know, Brian's going to hook you up.
Yeah, Brian. Brian will hook you up. He's going to hook me up.
He's going to hook you up, too.
First of all, Brian is one of those guys who has all the gadgets. He's got several Amphicars, a car that goes on land and water. And then today he leaves me a message. Hey, I heard you talking about night vision goggles. I've got some, and I'll tell you, they are great. I'm going to bring a pair down for you to look at. So now I can pretend like I'm in zero dark 30 dose.
But this new gadgets, I don't know if I'm into it that much.
Joe, you'll get used to it.
Yeah, I guess I will.
Yeah.
Yes, I had everything on. And instead of getting you yesterday, I got Bill left. I didn't know what I did wrong.
It's the radio.
You're getting the radio through your smartphone. That's great. You're driving a Bentley to deliver pizzas.
Yeah, right.
That's what happened. Joe, you're hooked up now, though, right?
So far, so good today.
All right.
Knock on wood.
Let me know if anything goes wrong.
I wouldn't be able to call anyway.
Joe. I'll tell you what. I'll check in with you periodically.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, Joe.
I'm still living, though.
Well, that's the main thing.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
You take care, guys.
You too. Thanks, Joe.
I drove past her, apartment complex the other day. I didn't know how there's like a huge row of. I thought it was just like a couple of. Because I have an idea as to where she lives. I don't know exactly
stalking
where.
Stalking her.
So I'm driving by, and I go, that's where Joe lives. And I'm like, whoa, she must, I don't, so I don't, I'm not sure where she lives now.
Well, you'll pinpoint it soon enough. I know you're on the case.
Yeah.
There you go, Matt. Now Joe can worry about that.
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
I was a little worried about you there. I kept getting a quick busy signal, and then I got a recording that said, the subscriber you have reached is not available or has traveled beyond the coverage area. And I'm like, what the? And I couldn't get through until just now.
Oh, it's this heat or something. I don't know.
I thought maybe the caller ID was blocking me, that I'd been, you know, it's like, okay, this guy's too screwy for the air. Block him out.
Matt, I don't have that many calls. I don't think I'm going to start blocking the ones I do get.
Okay.
I got you and about five other people that are constant callers. You're in the mix. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I appreciate that, because the guy that answered the phone, was that your new guy, Keith?
I don't know what that is. That was explained to me when I was in the middle of unloading boxes, and it was such a bait and switch, I have no idea. Keith is shadowing Craig, I was told, because Craig is going to be producing another show, but he will be on with me still.
I want to know who would we complain to? I mean, I got nothing against Keith, whoever he is, but I don't want to have to break in another producer here.
I don't think we have to right now. I think this is in case Craig goes on maternity leave or something, they told me. He's 3 months pregnant or something.
Whoever he is, he answered the phone, and I had to go, you know, well, this is Matt. And he's like, what did you want to say? And I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm Matt. You know what I say. I just call. I just talk.
I just blither, right.
Yeah. I'm AC. You know who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know who I am?
I mean, I drop trivia on the show like nobody's business.
Yeah, well, that too. Hey, what's this thing about the 22nd floor?
They came to me in the midst of all the other stuff that Dilbert spewed out in about 4 minutes. He said, how about doing your show on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower, which is a nice patio area outside, like it? I said, sure. Yeah. He goes, how about we do it this Friday? You can invite listeners. I go, great. Are we on? He goes, yeah. And then I start the show, and about 30 minutes into the show, Craig says, we can't do it this Friday. I assume it's going to be another day very soon because we want to obviously do it when the weather's nice. So
next Friday would be great because I'm actually taking some vacation days the end of the next week, and I can make it down there if that's possible.
All right. Tell Dilbert that Matt is available a week from Friday.
Tell him to call Matt.
Yeah, Matt is good if we can do it that Friday.
Daly, I want to know who this guy Dilbert is. Is that a euphemism for Todd Manley or no?
Yeah, that's Todd.
What?
That's Todd, yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, then I know who to complain to.
Yeah. No, there's nothing to complain about because it won't do any good, number one, and I don't even know what's all going on, so let's just play it out, see what happens. Maybe I'll have two producers. How about that?
Call me crazy, but I've kind of grown fond of Craig. He's a nice guy. I like Craig, too.
I liked everything.
I don't want him going back to the old media.
And then they said maybe Jobo's coming in. I don't know. Or Eddie, which one is it? I don't know. No.
Jobo doesn't want to do it.
Jobo, I got to get these guys straight. Jobo's in Freeport.
Right, he doesn't want to do it.
He's retired.
Eddie's looking for it.
Heaven help us if either one of those two shows up at WGN's door. Dear Lord.
No, one's retired. You're not going to see the duo anymore. Hope you enjoyed it while it lasted.
Okay, well, because I have a couple of small gifts I wanted to give you, and that's why I want to know what this 22nd floor thing is.
I will let you know as soon as I know.
Okay, appreciate that.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep.
Okay.
See ya.
See you. Peter Fasano from Fasano Pies.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good, my man. He is so generous with his pies.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you guys that I'm out at Swallow Cliffs and the Forest Preserves on my iPhone, and you're coming in great.
That sounded all like code, Peter.
Swallow
Cliffs and the Forest Preserves. Come and get me. If you can find me, I'll give you a pie.
I parked the pie wagon backwards.
Where is Swallow Cliffs for those of us who don't know?
It's the old toboggan slides out in Palos.
And are you selling pies out there?
No, I'm doing the stairs. I'm exercising.
So they don't have the toboggan slides anymore, but they have the stairs?
Yes, sir. And the stairs are brutal.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that go out there and do that. They walk there.
Yeah, I just did 15, and I needed to take a break and talk to you guys.
How many are there going one way?
I believe there's 125. And for me to do it, it's a minute 15 up and a minute 15 down.
A minute 15?
Oh, yeah, it's brutal. And what makes it so hard is that the stairs are different heights and depths. So it's not like a staircase. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like a uniform thing. So, but, I mean, it's great. There's people of all sizes and colors and shapes and everything. Everybody's out here for the same thing, to exercise.
And are you selling pies anywhere in the area that people should know about?
Well, tonight, yeah, at 900 North Dearborn, Washington Park, they could get my junior pies. There's a little event going on there. And this weekend I got a booth at Roscoe Burger Fest.
And where's that at?
Roscoe Village.
In the city of Chicago. That's the north side.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you see a Fasano pie truck, you can buy the pies right off the truck.
Absolutely. Pull me over. That's what we're here for.
That's how he does it.
And I wanted to let you know we're all legal now. We got the licenses. We got everything.
Oh, you were not legal before. I didn't know that.
Well, we were legal, but about 5 weeks ago. I mean, legal to sell in the stores and stuff. But, we can park on the streets of Chicago now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we got the sticker in the window, and we don't have to worry
Great.
about
giving police officers pies to let us sit there.
All right. Good to hear that. So if you see a Fasano pie truck, you can, like I said, buy them right off the truck.
Yeah, we're open for business, bud.
Thank you, Peter.
Great. Anytime I can come down there, let me know. I got your
You're welcome. You're welcome anytime. You know that.
No, he's on the first floor, though.
We're the office is on the first floor.
Who's on the seventh floor? What? I heard you saying you got to go up and down.
Well, they're moving some, I guess, what are they moving into the old offices? Some technical media type people. Social media.
That's old floor.
Old floor.
It's old floor.
It's an old floor.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever they do, they do.
I gotcha.
All right, Peter, thank you.
Well, anyways, you're coming in loud and clear out here, and I got the iPhone. So.
Thank you, Peter.
You sound great. Have a great day, guys.
You too, Peter. Peter Fasano, Fasano Pies. Larry.
Those little pies are good.
Hi, good afternoon, Gary.
Hey.
Long-time listener, long-time fan.
Thank you.
First-time caller.
What's going on?
And I wanted to thank you and Elton Jim and Leslie. I think you have a great show going, and I hope things continue going well for you.
Thank you. We're doing dinner theater at the Marriott Lincolnshire.
Well,
we're doing La Miz.
You know, millions of us will show up. You have fans, right, worldwide.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I think I might be have broken the what is it used to be the 45-minute rule or something like that, going off topic. But I got the same issue like the two callers ago saying about that the caller is out of the region or something like that, trying to get through.
Really?
Yeah. So you weren't getting calls for a while or weren't taking them, and I think something was wrong with the system. So you might want to.
And is that on our side? I don't wherever they have a problem. I don't know where it starts or ends or how to fix it. Buffering. Who's responsible for the buffering? Is that the government? Is that us?
Snowden.
No, I think it's your morning host, Gary. I think he's.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Boy, we're coming back with a vengeance,
wow,
aren't we?
Not even warming up in the bullpen.
Vacation is over.
Vacation is over, but I also wanted to mention, and I just spoke with your new producer.
I don't know. He's shadowing. I don't know what his title is yet. He's a shadow to Craig.
Okay, the shadow producer, that he, for whatever reason, is a very nice person on Patty's show, Patty Vasquez's show, but. For whatever reason, Patty was explaining on her program that something he said to Patty offended Patty's mother, so that Patty's mother will no longer, will no longer give on-air movie reviews. And I think, yeah. So, and
what
I don't
Twilight
know.
Zone episode am I in?
Well, and that's it. See, that's why I, you know, and the other thing I wanted to mention was whoever is hosting the Bring Back Gary Meyer on the internet is not updating it, is not keeping things going. And so I wish if she or he is listening to your program, as I'm sure the millions are, according to Arbitron and all the other
wow, you are definitely inside radio, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I am an economist. I'm a professor at a major Catholic university in Loup. But so I'm sitting in my office listening to your show on my computer. So no, I have nothing to do with the radio. I just listen, and especially you. I can probably be one of the few people listening today, there you go.
There it is.
Who can actually say that I listened to your first Singleton show when you were on the FM after you broke up with the other gentleman, Steve, and your news lady was Tina, or as you're describing her now.
Right.
And I listened. I followed you. I just never called.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a big fan, and I think you do a great job. You're Chicago. You represent Chicago. You're everything Chicago, and you have that angle to yourself, just like being able to relate to guys swimming in high school without bathing suits.
Yeah.
That we all had to go through, right? Yeah. All us older guys.
Yes.
Chicago gear.
Chicago gear. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you see Eddie Schwartz better than anybody.
Yes.
Although I wanted to ask, whatever happened to the guy who had the boys' camp in Grundy County?
You have been a listener. You mean Cliff?
Cliff.
Broadcasting and Film Ranch in unincorporated Grundy County. He's semi-retired.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad because I think, you know, you got to have all of your little characters.
Your little puppets.
Yeah, your little puppets in the show.
Cliff does make an appearance every now and then. Wait, I'll return to Bodo Thurketh, already in progress. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Cliff. Oh, it's a dream come true for a PhD to be able to talk to Gary and Cliff and to return to Bozo Circus all in one afternoon. My goodness, you've
Thank
made
you,
my
Larry.
Life complete.
I have a DVD in the Arts and Sciences.
Do you do?
Oh, yes, I'm titled, too. They call me Dr. Cliff out at the Rads.
Hey, I would refer to you as Mr. Cliff.
Uh-oh, it's the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. Thank
five
you, Larry.
O'clock. All right, thanks,
okay.
Gary. Bye.
Appreciate all the support.
Spartans, what is your profession?
Leslie, I know you're on a time crunch, right?
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit.
Laura is on the phone here. Laura was behind me at the security line at the Pittsburgh airport yesterday.
She saw your new socks.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got TSA pre-approved. I didn't have to take my shoes off. I felt like
nice.
I won the lottery. How about
We were big time, weren't we, Gary?
Oh,
we were big time.
Pre-approved, baby.
Wow.
Nice.
So she saw me as I'm taking my belt off.
I did, and let me tell you, I told my mom. I said, oh, my God. I stood there, and I said, I was in my bare feet, and I watched Gary Meyer take his belt off. I had to look away.
Again. That story never gets old. So Laura, I'm right there in the bin, putting all my stuff in the bin, and she goes, Gary. I go, hey, how you doing? And I said to her, and I was going to talk about this, Laura, even if you didn't call. I said, are you on this Southwest flight to Midway? And she goes, no, I have an American flight into O'Hare because I don't like the short runway at Midway.
Oh, and right there is when you thought, oh, God, this chick's crazy.
No, but get this, Laura, my flight was delayed almost 3 hours. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, oh, I wish I was on that American flight into O'Hare right now.
Oh, I'll bet, because you know what? We left about 5 minutes early. We landed 15 minutes early.
Oh,
I had
man.
To stand out there waiting for my ride.
Oh.
So.
And Laura commutes from Tinley Park to Kankakee.
Oof. Every day. And thank God I found you. This was great.
Because she was saying she's been kind of off the grid as far as listening. She doesn't have the setup. And now you found me.
I did. I'm listening to you on my iPhone.
Great. Appreciate that. So you got out on time. And there was some stormy weather, but it wasn't because of that. It was some mechanical issue with the plane. They had to get another plane. So I'm sitting next to these people. The guy is in a wheelchair, right? And they were going from Chicago to Salt Lake City, but they were going to connect in Chicago. Of course, as we're sitting there, that flight was canceled to Salt Lake City. But before they got to Salt Lake, they had to get a flight to Albuquerque, then to go to Salt Lake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was their day, and I'm thinking, I don't have anything to complain about, even if I'm 3 hours late. And then they said the flight was canceled to Albuquerque, so they were going to put them up. And she goes, they're going to put us up in a hotel in Chicago. And I go, where is it? She goes, it's the Willowbrook Inn or something. And I said, well, that's a suburb. That's got to be closer to Midway than downtown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, south.
Because they had an early morning flight to go to Albuquerque. I'm thinking, this guy's in a wheelchair, and this is their day for 2 days now to get back to Salt Lake.
Oh, yuck.
So your flight
really
was the best.
Yeah, it was really good, except that when we got up there, you know, we hit that turbulence, and every time the flight attendant would come by and she's like, you want another drink? I just would nod my head, just keep bringing them up. Just keep bringing them up.
You're not a big flyer, huh?
I don't really care for it. I do it often, but
yeah.
Usually that flight back and forth, you know, east and west isn't bad, but it's the north and south where you hit some pretty bad turbulence when I'm going to Florida. But this one, and I do this one like, I don't know, once every 2-3 months. Whew, that was a bad one yesterday.
Yeah? The whole flight or just a little bit?
I would say probably the first maybe half hour. And uh, I
it actually felt like he was going faster, if that seems possible. I think he was trying to get the hell through that.
Yeah.
And I managed to get down 3 rum and cokes, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you're standing there half drunk waiting for your ride.
Exactly, getting pissed off by the minute because then my ride was late. We got in early, so I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, my God.
So
I should have just either gotten on the bus or called a cab.
You really don't go to Midway because of the short runway?
Yeah, seriously, I just can't stomach it. We have actually, the whole family will fly out of Midway, and I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys there. Some of them flew to New York. I went to O'Hare. They all rode together, and I'm like, I won't do it. I can't.
I like when we land, and they have to really put on the brakes, and that seatbelt gets real tight for about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
I like that feeling.
Tight.
Like, yeah, that's modern aviation back in the 50s.
That's why I don't do it. I just can't do it.
All right. Well, you got home. You got the faster flight.
I did. I can't believe I got out of it. I was home before you even left then.
Right. Exactly. Believe me, I was sitting there thinking, that woman is already home, probably in bed, and I'm still sitting in Pittsburgh. But it was fine. I mean, once we got out of there, it was fine. Actually, the flight was pretty smooth. The storms had passed, and we got in. And I like when they're late like that because they do try to make up all the time. So the entire flight was all 14 minutes.
Oh, excellent. I swear you can feel that too, okay? Yeah, because I said to her, how did we get in so early? And we only left like literally 4 minutes early. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and no traffic when I got home. By the time I got home, it was 9:30. No traffic.
Yeah,
although the cab driver goes, how do you want to go? Because the streets are closed for a taste of Chicago. And I thought, I am home. When they close the streets probably a week before they need to, I'm home.
Yeah.
All right, Laura, good to talk to you. Nice to meet you.
It was nice meeting you, and maybe I'll see you again. I'm doing it again in 3 weeks.
All right.
All right, I'll keep my eye open for you.
Thanks, Laura.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care.
So how
Bye-bye.
Do you get TSA pre-approved? What do?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you sure you have it?
My wife said, I
you
think...
You just walked in that line?
My wife said, I think you're pre-approved. And I thought, okay. So I went to the guy and I said, am I pre-approved? And he said, yeah. And he stamped something on my ticket. And then he said, you don't have to take your shoes off when you go through.
So you didn't go into the pre-approved initial line then, did you? There's a line. There's a shorter line.
No, I didn't see it. Well, I just walked up, and it wasn't that busy, so it wasn't that bad.
But so the biggest thing was your shoe?
Everything else was the same. You had to walk through the detector and everything.
Yeah.
But not taking your shoes off, and you don't get the airport cooties on your socks,
We went with my mother-in-law on this trip, and so she just turned 71 in January, and she looks, I've known her.
Okay, here
years.
It comes.
No,
traveling together. Hey, she looks pretty good.
No, my point is
suddenly you get a few gin and tonics. Mrs. Robinson,
you're trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson. And so, we go into both airports, in both Chicago and in Washington, there and back. We get into the line for the security, and they took her to the side, and they said, "Oh, you can go." This is before they even saw her ID.
I think they just do random pre-approved.
Well, no, they said, they said senior citizens can go in that line, and she didn't have to take her shoes off. But she was kind of depressed because she's only 71, and by sight, they moved her there. They didn't see her ID, and that's for people 75 and older.
Ooh, good start to the trip.
Yeah, she's like, because I saw they're taking her away, and I'm like, oh, geez, now what did she do?
Is she a mule? Is she a drug mule?
And I said, where did they take you? And she says, oh, well, she didn't even have to even go through the thing with your hands up. They just put her through the quick one. And she said, oh, they said senior citizens. And she said, but they said they're for 75 and older. So then I was like, oh, well, maybe it was a short line. They just figured.
Sure.
Then we're in Washington the way back.
Same
oh, man,
thing.
You going to go over here? So she's like, geez.
Nice trip.
Yeah. But I saw the TSA approved, and I always wondered now what that is.
I don't know how I got it, but just,
well, didn't Tom? I think Tom Skilling one time said that you could just go online, so maybe your wife did.
Maybe
it
she
you.
Did that. Yeah, Jim.
Oh, hey, great to have you guys back on the air. It sounds excellent. You guys
Thank
are
you.
Jacked up. These have been some of the best shows. I've been a fan since way back on Loop Days. So
thank you.
Sounding just great. Just a couple of goofy techie things I wanted to mention. For people that do have Wi-Fi, this wouldn't work in the car, but for around the house, I've heard people talk about these internet internet radios that are pretty pricey. If you go to like eBay, you can get a tablet, which is like an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But the Apple ones are pretty expensive. But there's a million off-brand ones, and they're like you can get them for like $30, $25.
Really?
And you just charge this thing up. And you just, download any one of the apps, and then you can just plug it in. It's got a little headphone jack, and you can plug it into one of those little speakers. They sell those everywhere. So I really think that for, like, around the house, if you want to move it around the house and stuff like that, that's probably the best way. I mean, you don't need a $500 smartphone.
Called a U-Pad or some off-brand like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, the Apples are they're pretty expensive, but there's got to be 50 other companies that make a different version of the same thing that does pretty much the same thing. So it's a great way to get that too. I was going to also throw in that I found this. I heard someone mention on the show there the iHeart Radio app.
Yeah. Yes,
that is sweet. There is like no buffering issues. It comes in. You don't have to register, or sign up, or anything. You just put in your zip code. WGN FM has a nice little thing pops up. I just hit that and bam.
Yeah.
I
was reading over the vacation on how many cars in the 15 model are going to have internet capabilities. And this is happening faster than I think a lot of people thought. And I would say in a year, you're going to see cars, affordable cars, not just the Tesla with its, I think the Tesla I read has a 17-inch screen. In the car.
Wow.
17-inch. I don't even have one in my house that's that big.
By the way, they are coming up with a $35,000 Tesla in the next couple of years, too. Wow.
That's what they're saying. It's going to be very affordable, too. And it's happening faster than I think anybody predicted. So I'm on the front end of this, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. They put Brandmeier on there. I listened a little bit of that. He was crazy when they first put him on
radio
stream only.
He's been crazy from day one. I don't think there's any particular incident. It's just
in Chicago. And then what are they renting that FM station for a year is what I thought I heard.
That's the plan, although that might be extended. I've heard all kinds of stuff. I guess they're still shopping for other FM signals. That's also what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem goofy that they're treating, you guys are the royalty of, just the best ever. So why not use the best to try out the newest thing? And I it's going to always work out good, isn't it? It's just kind of
so far everything that I've gone through has turned out to be even better than I could have imagined.
Yeah. But like I said, you sound I loved before. You were great on AM. I listened every day, but I love the new format. And like I said, you sound extra. Kind of hyped up and extra. Everybody's funny, and I just love it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. There's a lot more time available, which is nice. The format, which is really no format, is actually rather enjoyable.
Yeah, it's great. And I called in once, too. I would love to hear you talk to some of your old comedy, like guests that used to know. If you can get some of them on. A lot of those guys do some podcasts and stuff, and that would be great to hear.
I will work on all that stuff.
All right, great. Well, I'll stop babbling and keep listening. Sounding excellent.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
So $25 pads.
Pads.
It's just called pad. In fact,
they have the small ones and they have the maxi.
They've got the super, if you really like the super absorbed, the show, there's that pad.
I like the liners. They're much lighter.
Oh, you put it in your pocket and listen. Those pads. Yesterday, the Twilight Zone reference made me think of something. I'm sitting at the airport, and the guy two seats down next to me, there was me, empty seat, and then this guy, he had his computer, and he was watching Twilight Zone episodes back-to-back.
Oh, yeah, they had a marathon.
On
Sci-Fi, so maybe he was watching
so,
that.
Yeah, so every 22 minutes, and I tried to lean in to see, I heard the guy from, is it Strother Martin?
Yeah.
He was on one. I heard his voice, and then Burgess Meredith.
Oh, he was in a lot of them.
Right. And so all those Twilight Zone episodes for 2.5 hours, do-do-do-do, and then the next episode, which is a great way to kill time because every 22 minutes you've seen an episode, and that 22 minutes is gone.
Was this yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh, I don't know if they had.
It was yesterday.
Oh, then maybe, no, because I know they had one on 4th of July. So
maybe he just
Maybe he recorded
them. Recorded them, yeah. And was watching them. So I did not plan on eating until I got home. So I kind of, you know how I have to have no solid.
How many hours?
36 hours before we
wheels
up. So
now you were two more hours.
So now I got it all planned where I'm not going to eat until I get home. So now,
you're
half
off.
Hour delay, 45 minutes, hour, 2 hours, and now I'm really hungry.
You got to be dying.
This girl comes and sits next to me, and she's got those Aunt Diana's pretzel.
Oh, Auntie Annie's.
Auntie Annie's, whatever they are. Yeah.
Auntie Annie's.
So now I can't.
With the cinnamon?
So I said to her, I said, where is that? Is that close? And she goes, it's right next door to the gate here. Yeah. So I said, hey, can you watch my luggage? Because I'm going to. So I ran next door, and I got two cinnamon pretzels and the lemonade.
Oh, I know it's good.
Sitting there, and I'm just eating them out of
the
bag.
Messy as hell.
And the cinnamon is everywhere now.
Messy as hell.
It's all over my pants.
Oh, terrible.
My shirt, my luggage, everything. I didn't care.
I had one in Washington.
But wait, here's the payoff. Here's the payoff. So she's eating hers. I'm eating mine. And this woman comes in, and she looks at us. She sees the bags. And she goes, you know what? They just threw out all the pretzels because they closed for the night. They just threw them all away. They're all sitting in the garbage can there.
I thought, did you go back?
No.
Yeah. Oh, see, now that's me. And
there must have been two dozen pretzels because I got there right before they closed.
Oh.
And I guess they just threw them all away right in the can where you bought them, right in front there.
And you didn't go back?
No.
Okay.
I had two. How many can I eat?
Those are they are heavy, but man, are they good.
But I thought it was funny because she saw us eating. She goes, almost to say, did you idiots pay for those? Because they just threw them all away.
Could have waited 10
minutes.
There are
two dozen right there in the garbage.
Could have waited 10 minutes.
But I thought, why can't they give them to an orphanage if they still have orphanages or some? I guess it's not worth transporting.
From the airport.
Two dozen. Aunt, what is it, Annie Mame?
Auntie Annie's.
Auntie Annie's pretzels.
Anna, those are good, though. But they are messy. Oh, my God, I had to stand up and literally just brush them off.
And when I stood up, there must have been.
The seat?
The whole seat was cinnamon.
Exactly.
I had to brush that off. And then that guy in the wheelchair was sitting there, and I don't know if he got some in his lap.
Yeah, it's like that they do the same thing that Cinnabon does, man. They know where to put that thing, and that wafts in the air.
And I thought, and you know how Catholic I am, I think I can hold out.
Not
so I'm thinking, I'm going to wait. And then I kept pushing the flight back, and I thought, I'm starving. I am starving. I don't know what this does to my flight operation.
But it doesn't matter.
My constitution, but I can't. I got to eat something.
That's
so
worth going to the bathroom.
Two cinnamon pretzels and lemonade.
And a big lemonade.
So now, after the big lemonade, we get on the plane. Now I got to go to the bathroom.
It's only an hour flight, though, right?
No, but the fact is, it's not a long flight, but I had to go 10 minutes after takeoff. And I'm thinking, because it was bumpy, they're not going to turn the seatbelt sign on. And I thought, I gotta go. So I just jumped up there. And
are you on an aisle?
Oh, I always do aisle.
Yeah.
Have to have an aisle seat. Because I don't want to be climbing over people because I don't know
how embarrassing
it's going to happen. But those pretzels.
Oh, they're good.
Mm.
Well, that was like, because we.
But just to throw them all away in front of people. It just makes me.
And were they visible?
She came and saw us. She said they just threw them all away 2 minutes ago.
Do you think anybody went in there?
When she said that, I almost got the impression she wanted to go take
she
some.
Figured, like,
and she was just trying to put her toe in the water.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. It's very tempting when you see this food in the hallway.
But
the
what
hotel.
Was her point in telling us that they had just thrown them away, that we're idiots?
Yeah, just kind of, just to put.
Like to rub it in?
Just stick the knife in. Oh, you mean you paid $7?
Yeah. You bought those? They just threw them all away.
But that's true. What else are they going to do?
I never thought about it. I didn't need to think about it. But some places that have a large volume of leftover food, they do have a deal with local food pantries because it is a shame to waste all that.
They have the good corn dogs there, too.
They have corn dogs?
Yeah.
See, I couldn't do a corn dog because that could just.
Well, it's not necessarily a corn dog. It's a hot dog in the pretzel breading.
Oh,
very good.
I might have to go out to the airport tonight just to get one.
Very good.
Do they have them anywhere else around here?
No, it's mostly, it seems like it's in malls or airports. It's not like, because I asked my wife that because I don't really go to malls. And so the only place I ever see this Auntie Annie's is in airports. And she got one.
I'm sure they have the kiosks in malls.
And
do you know about these Auntie Annie's pretzel places?
There's no standalone stores, though.
Leslie?
You know the Auntie Annie's pretzel places?
Do you know if there are any Auntie Annie's pretzel places around here?
In the mall.
Yeah, just in the malls.
He doesn't go to malls because.
I don't go to
why
malls.
Why don't you go to malls?
I don't really need to go to malls.
You don't need to go. You've never been to a mall?
No, I've been to a mall, but I can't tell you the last time I've been. The last time I've been to a mall, I can't tell you. To be honest with you.
I want to say there's one in Yorktown. That's a nice mall.
Oh, I'm not. I got nothing against them.
They
seem very nice.
They seem well constructed.
Yeah, no, they're very nice. I mean, I just don't.
But I would imagine the rent to set it up, say downtown, would be beyond. How many pretzels do you have to sell to cover the $15,000 a month rent?
Yeah, but it's got to be expensive in an airport, right? That's pretty good.
No.
That's pretty good real estate there.
But they're small. They only need a little space. Yeah. And they got a lot of those at airports.
But my wife was saying that, because I asked her the same question. I said, are there any standalone stores? And she said, no, they're only in malls or in airports. At least that's what she's seeing.
845 North Michigan.
Eight what?
845 North Michigan.
Near, is that Water Tower?
It's north of Water Tower, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
I think
435.
You know what? That's got to be Water Tower. They wouldn't be on the street.
It's probably
Water. It's in Water Tower Place.
Because there's the 900 building is right across the street in Water Tower.
And then there's also one at 500 West Madison Street.
Oh.
So they have pretzel-wrapped dogs.
Yeah. Really
good.
That
sounds pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah. Doesn't have cinnamon
on it. So it's like a corn dog except with pretzels.
Yeah, it's a pretzel. Yeah.
I love pretzel bread.
Yeah, it's really good.
See, if they had that in now Israel and Palestine, these people would put everything down and go, we have these.
Instead of throwing rocks, they could throw pretzels at each other.
How to deal with Somali pirates? You just throw those off your boat at them, and they wouldn't want to come aboard
for
anything else?
Once they've had these good things, they would not go back. They're fighting.
And apparently that Auntie Annie's is a kind of a success story where this woman used to make them and bring them to work. And people were like, these are delicious. Why don't you sell
these?
I love
stories like that.
And that's how it happened.
As opposed to, what's the cookie place in the mall?
Mrs. Field?
Mrs. Field.
Yeah, where she was one of those, it's just a woman who started baking. Yeah, and also got like over $1 million of seed money from her husband.
No.
So it wasn't quite the story that we really heard in the beginning.
Those are good cookies.
Marie.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I know for sure there's an Auntie Annie's pretzels in the Lake Forest Oasis. So maybe they're in all the oases.
They're redoing a lot of these oases, right?
I don't know. Well, the one guy, because my kids go to college in Wisconsin, and I usually stop off at the bathroom on the way up, and I know there's a pretzel place in there.
I just saw this article about the refurbishing of these rest stops around the country.
Yeah, that one doesn't look like it's under construction, but maybe they are. But
I guess
you can get a pretzel on your way home, maybe.
I think the percentage was 93% of people that stop at these places are just to use the bathroom. That's the deal. You need a bathroom, and there it is.
Yeah, there it is. And I usually also go to the Starbucks.
And the Starbucks. There's something. Pretzels, when you're hungry and you don't want to do this or that, it seems like pretzels always are the thing that are perfect. When I go to sporting events.
It would be messy in the car, don't you think?
Yeah, the cinnamon one, forget about it. I had cinnamon coming out of my wazoo when I got home. I mean, really. And that wasn't because of just eating them. It was just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're good.
They are good. And I love the show. Keep it up. I really missed you last week. I actually listened to nothing.
I listened to nothing. I turned on nothing and I listened to it.
Yeah, but I also did listen to you in replay, and I about had a heart attack yesterday.
What happened?
Well, you weren't on, and I thought you were going to be back, and I thought, oh, my God, did he get fired? Or
jeez,
you know,
everybody jumped right to that.
I'll tell you what, a year ago, going into the Hall of Fame this year, you're on a thread that is so thin.
I know.
How bad is it?
I'll tell you that I posted it on Elton Jim's page and your page and WGN, and Elton took care of me, and WGN FM replied right away, so my fear was put to rest.
Well, thank you, and the reason we were off yesterday is because 4th of July was on a weekday, and I would get that day off anyway, so then I get that extra day.
Very nice. Well, welcome back.
Well, I'm glad to be back, Marie. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
There.
I told you I was getting Facebook messages all day yesterday.
Jeez,
where are you guys?
Well, if you remember the Friday before vacation, the show was, there were a lot of things going on, and some people were calling going, Well, if this was your last show, we really enjoyed it.
Because you were talking about your office and everything.
Well, it was a lot of stuff, again, and people thought, oh, this is it. This has got to be it now.
They can't be talking like this. No. They'll come back.
So if that's it, well, thank you. The show repeats itself starting at 7 o'clock every night, and then every show is podcast out there, too. So that will be on, and they're podcast right after the show. What's the time lag, Craig or Keith or whoever's producing the show today?
Creep.
It's about 2 hours from when the show is over that the podcasts are up.
Okay. Every day, that day, boom, there's the podcast. Talking Heads. Oops. Apparently I am. Thank you, Mr. Byrne. It is 5:30, G. Meyer on duty, back from vacation. Thanks for stopping by. 312-521-8600 is the text number and the phone number. Here's my latest text. So, now that Israel is invading Gaza, how long until World War III?
Nice.
I've been reading about this. Oh. That's what I do on my vacation. I read about hotspots on the planet.
There's enough.
And these three Israeli kids were murdered.
Murdered.
And then a Palestinian kid was murdered, apparently in retaliation. And now they're lobbing bombs back and forth. This is insane.
And his cousin is from the United States. Yeah.
From Tampa.
And he got...
And the Israeli police beat the hell out of him.
Oh, my God. He looks like Rocky at the end of the first movie.
So this cannot be a good thing, in addition to all the other bad things.
And they're shooting missiles now.
Yeah, back and forth. Oh. Like, this is going to solve anything.
Why would you want to be the president?
Of anything.
Of anything. I mean.
Of anything.
But why would you want to run for president of the United States in 2 years? This is only going to be worse in 2 years.
I'm not running, so don't worry about that.
Jeez.
Tomorrow, Scott Stantis returns 5 o'clock with the caption contest, and I'm sure he'll want to relieve some of his angst about the newspaper business as he's been doing every week.
Oh, that's right. He was...
He's just unloading.
Wow. I forgot
Scott,
about that.
Take it outside. Here is the cartoon. It's available to look at the Tribune's website and my Facebook page, The Gary Meyer Show. It is the back of Rahm Emanuel, looking at portraits of former mayors, two of them specifically, William Ogden and Buckner Morris. I don't know. It's your deal to put a caption on it, and then we'll look at some, and I'll give out some muffs and things for the top captions. And you have to send those captions to my Facebook page only to qualify for the contest, The Gary Meyer Show, as I said. Thank you. And Tom Skilling will be on at 6. He was not on at 3 because he was involved in some seminar and said, hey, I'll come on at 6. And I said, fine. And he'll be giving whatever that forecast is. I guess there are more storms in the forecast for tonight. Whenever the atmosphere is unstable, like Israeli-Palestinian relations, there's a chance for a thunderstorm. That's just part of the summer. All week last week in Pennsylvania, every night. In fact, one of the local stations, their weather team is always labeled the severe weather team.
They have a special team?
That's what it's called all the time.
Oh, they're normal.
All the time. And the severe weather team. It could be the nicest day every day for a month. It's still the severe weather team. And I'm thinking, that's like billing the anchors as the tragic news anchors, isn't it? The severe weather team. That's the way they're built all the time.
So when they say it's nice and sunny and beautiful,
it's always we're going to the severe weather team. And they're going to give us the weather. It doesn't matter if it's not severe. It's always the severe weather team. But they said many days, storm's coming, it's going to rain. Nothing. It's just beautiful every day. God, I love the heat. I was out in the heat. Ate every meal outside.
Yesterday.
Every meal.
You missed a hot one here yesterday.
Well, when I got in the cab,
it was very
good. Had all the windows open.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Ate every meal outside. Hot soup.
Really?
Everything. Oh, yeah. Every meal. Did not eat indoors once. Now, that's how you enjoy summer.
Do they have a lot of al fresco places out there?
No, that's the problem. So I went to the same place for lunch
3 days
four days in a row. And the funny thing is, I went
here's
into
your table.
Here's your table.
But wait a minute.
So
garçon.
The first few days were, according to some people, hot. So I'd walk in and I go, I'd like to sit outside. You want to sit outside? There's nobody out there. I go, well, I'm out there. Yeah, so several days, the only one sitting out there.
Oh, I believe
Come
it.
On. I mean, this is going to be gone in 3 months.
I know, but aren't, doesn't
Again.
It, isn't it just...
No. It's beautiful.
Don't, I mean, don't you sweat?
So? It's good. You have to open the pores.
No,
I just think back to those days in January and February, and I'm thinking, I can't wait for this. This being what's coming in the summer, hopefully. I got to get to that, and I'll be fine, and I love this.
It was supposed to be in the 70s, like mid-70s the rest of the week, so I enjoyed that.
No.
No.
That's not right.
It was like 80-something yesterday.
That's what
very
they, it's
sticky.
Summer.
Very sticky.
Okay. You have air conditioning. You don't want to turn it on.
My wife, I turned it on upstairs yesterday because it was 90 upstairs.
That's nice.
It was literally 90.
Okay, honey, I'll turn it on to 82 because I don't want to see that thing running.
But about 3 in the morning, I shut it off. I'm like, I can't keep this going on from 10 o'clock at night.
By the way, we got our a letter from the electric company.
Where are you at?
We got a frowny face.
Oh, see? doesn't that make you depressed?
No, it wasn't a frown. There was no face, but it says that we use 1% more electricity than our neighbors.
See, so
that we just need to try harder.
Do you crank it night and day?
No.
So you're not efficient.
Well, but I'm thinking some of this is based on the winter when I knew that we had a leaky window. So, yes, of course, we're going to do things to shore it up, but they want access to our air want to put this restrictor on our air conditioner so they can power it down during peak use times.
Wow.
Well. And that seemed a little
big brother-y. Yeah.
Wow, that's
so
right.
You obviously have to agree to this.
Right. These are just some helpful hints that they're offering us right now. And it's like, okay, yeah, we're on it. We're on it. Leave us alone.
That's not good.
Because we're 1% higher than the average in our area.
That's all it
takes.
We
also have a bigger house than other people in the neighborhood. I don't know if that's considered.
Did you fix the leaky window?
No, not yet.
Your husband's in construction.
And the toddler's children have no shoes.
All right. I'll fix it.
After
when
a long day of fixing other people's
work
windows.
On that.
Exactly.
I just got done working on that. And as my wife says at dinner, boy, you sure talk a lot at work.
Go,
well, that's different, isn't it? Because you're pretty quiet now.
It's my mom used to always complain about. Boy, when you're out with people, all you do is talk, 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 back, 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 back. You come home, you don't say 3 words. It's like, well, yeah, because I'm all talked out.
Or my wife and daughter will ask me something about a certain situation, and I'll just have a 4-word answer, and then they'll say, I'll bet you'll make it pretty funny tomorrow. I'll bet it sounds pretty good tomorrow on the radio, doesn't it?
Oh, they don't understand.
They don't.
They don't understand the art of it.
This text, the 312-521-8600. Gary, just want to say Germany has beaten Brazil 7-1 and is through to the final. Greetings from Germany. That's Dan from Germany checking in. 7-1. That's a lot of goals.
It was a monumental trouncing.
Wow.
Is how a lot of
7 goals in a soccer game? That's enough for 5 games.
And you got Brazil, the home, the host, getting their ass spanked.
There are a lot of people whose face paint is now getting kind of wilty because of the tears streaking through it.
For Christ's sake, Aldi makes an iPad ripoff. Where'd you get your iPad, Aldi?
Would you like it in a box?
Yeah.
One of those big packing size.
And when you do have an off-brand, I remember this as a kid. If you had an off-brand, you felt it.
Oh.
I remember when I bought an amplifier for my guitar, and I couldn't afford a Fender or something very nice, so it was an off-brand. Everybody had a Silvertone. Sears made the Silvertone amplifier that every kid had to start with, and they were everywhere. But I had an off-brand. It wasn't a Hofner bass, but it looked like a Hofner. So that was good enough, I thought. But I wanted the Hofner, but you couldn't afford it. And you're aware of the off-brand. Are people aware of the off-brand now, or does it matter?
Oh, I think a certain type of person
more than ever.
Well aware. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
When you have
an Apple, a
baloney TV as opposed to a Sony.
Definitely.
I understand because growing up, I had a knockoff Barbie. And all the girls in the neighborhood.
Would you have Dawn?
It wasn't even one of those. It was just
Dawn.
One that my mom got at, like, Kresge or someplace.
But how would
so
you know?
Because she didn't twist and turn, and her limbs were just solid, and she was not quite as pretty as the rest of the party.
She had a few teeth missing.
Not that it still bothers me
right.
or anything.
Shut up. It was 88 cents.
Her butt was just a little saggier.
She had a tattoo.
Yeah. She smoked.
Yellow stained teeth. And her accessories were not an A-frame, it was a trailer, teardrop trailer, with a bunch of overturned toys in the yard.
A bin for laundry.
Yeah.
Barbie's laundry bin.
Yeah, well.
Instead of the Malibu convertible.
She is going on vacation. She doesn't need
Are Barbies very expensive?
We were poor. I mean,
We were poor.
Can I have another Bobby?
We were poor. My parents spent all their money on things like education and buying us shiny shoes on Easter, the important stuff. But, yeah, toys and that sort of thing, no. I'd go over to the Snyders and play with their toys.
Oh, you have the knockoff Barbie.
Ooh.
It's harsh, man.
And Ellen.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to mention to Leslie with regards to ComEd putting that thing on your air conditioner. We've had it on our air conditioner, I think, for like 5 or 6 years. And both my wife and I are not home during the day, and that's usually, I think, when they would ever turn that thing on. And I don't think I've ever had that thing come on, or, you know, where they turned off our air conditioner. And it reduces your bill. They give you a discount.
So is it worth it?
I think it's worth it. The other thing we've got, too, is we've got that time of day metering set up so that they charge you different rates based on the time of day. And we get a statement every year that tells us how much we saved by doing that. And, you know, I think it's usually about 150 bucks somewhere in there a year that we save by doing it that way.
Go ahead.
Even though Big Brother is watching you, it's kind of a cool thing, actually.
It's kind of a not-so-cool thing if it is attached to your air conditioner. And by that, I mean in its actual air coolness.
Well, you know, if someone was home during the middle of the day and that thing kicked on, I can understand it. What they will do, though, is if you got central air, the fan inside your house will still run. So if it's cooler downstairs, it'll bring that cooler air up, but it just won't run the outdoor compressor.
All right, that's good.
You know, I just don't ever remember that ever kicking in, not even once. So
there's something about electricity that I feel if I had everything off for a month, they're still getting the maximum amount out of me. It seems like when I dial down, I'm looking for a big savings, and it doesn't seem to reflect on the bill.
Well, you know what really is the kicker? Your biggest consumer is your refrigerator and or if you got a freezer. And it really makes a lot of sense to look into getting a more efficient refrigerator. The newer ones that have come out over the past 10 years are much, much better. And that makes a huge difference.
And they say these chargers, if they are after you're done charging whatever device, if you leave it in the outlet, those things are sucking energy.
It's like zombie usage or something they refer to it as.
The wall warts, the transformers that run all your electronics, definitely. Just to give you kind of a heads up here, I live part-time in Minnesota. Matter of fact, that's where I'm calling you from.
That's John Williams. Go ahead, Al.
I'm in far southeast Minnesota, and actually this is kind of nice having you on the Internet because I listened to you on the Internet even when you were on the radio because I couldn't get you up here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyways, I've got a solar powered house up here, and so I'm really into renewable energy kind of stuff. And our house actually is, we do get electricity from the grid. It's called a grid intertide system. But I do pay attention a lot to electricity, and definitely, you know, every piece of electronic gear that you have in your house is, you know, it's just a little bit of electricity that it's using, but all those devices add up.
Yeah. So this house in Minnesota is completely solar powered as far as you got the panels put in, and how much does it carry of your electricity?
Well, it used to be, I mean, the house I built, I've been building it from scratch, and it's very energy efficient, and it's also made to really pull air in through it in the evenings and so forth. And when I first built it, I did not have an air conditioner in here. And when I did not have air conditioning in the house, I was making more electricity per year than I was using. But it got to the point where I just could not get the humidity out of the house, and we put in these really nice kitchen cabinets, and they started to warp a little.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided, okay, we got to break down and get an air conditioner in here just, if anything, to get the humidity out. And so I'm no longer what they call a net zero house, meaning that I do consume more than I produce, but it's still pretty close.
How much to install the solar panels?
Well, the interesting thing about it is when I installed it, which was about 6 or 7 years ago, the price of the panels were almost double of what they are now. But I got a huge rebate on it from the state of Minnesota. So I did everything myself, all the electrical hookup, the installation, which saved me a bunch of labor. And I spent $16,000 on the panels and got $8,000 back in rebates. So it, out of pocket, it cost me $8,000. And it's probably going to take me between 15 and 20 years to recoup that kind of money. But the panels are warrantied for 25 years, and they last a long, long time. There's nothing mechanical about it. It's all electrical.
I just read where that Elon Musk, SpaceX,
yeah,
and the Tesla, he has just now, with one of his cousins or whatever, they have purchased this big solar panel factory, and they're going to put out solar panels that are going to be much more affordable. And this guy, he knows what he's doing, so.
Yeah, well, they've gotten really a lot better at the manufacturing of it, and I think it's only a matter of time before it gets to the point where it really is close enough that, you know, to electrical generation of coal and all the other non-renewables, that it's getting there. It's just a matter of time. And we'll get there. And, you know, the battery technology on cars is another thing that's slowly getting better. But, you know, the biggest problem with renewables that we have is that there is no way of storing the excess electricity and then, you know, feeding it back to the grid when we need it. So I don't know if we'll ever get to a point. We've got to figure out a way of being able to store a lot of electricity and then using it when we don't have it.
Yeah.
And that's the big kicker right now. But, you know, eventually I'm hoping we'll get there.
And I've been talking about an idea. I don't know if it's ever feasible. It's a device. You hook it to your house, and I thought you put garbage in there, and it breaks it down and turns it into electricity. Now I'm thinking just plastic bags. You just put plastic bags in there, and it breaks the plastic bag down and generates electricity. So there would be no plastic bags flying around because people would not throw them away, and they're actually being reused to generate electricity. How about that? Because there's oil in those bags.
Well, with that, I want to say the University of Illinois has come up with a way to turn plastic bags into oil, like just revert it back to its petroleum base, and that might be coming sooner than later.
Sure. See, Alan? Just got to come up with something and then you're sitting pretty.
Well, I mean, a lot of the farmers out this way are doing a lot of what they call, you know, biodigesters and being able to produce electricity from just decomposition of biomass. So it's a matter of time, but we'll get there.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the call.
All right. And thank you, Gary. Love the show and still listen to you even though you're on the Internet. And, of course, I've been listening to you on the Internet anyways.
That's all right. Thank you, Alan.
All right. Sure.
Pat. Hey, Pat.
Hello, Gary.
Hey.
Oh, my word.
Hey.
Hey, Gary, it's Pat from Indy.
It's Pat from Indy.
Hey, I wanted to tell you that we have a Walmart not far from my house that has an Auntie Anne's in it.
You lucky. A Walmart with an Auntie Anne's in it. And if you're looking for something to quell the disturbances in Israel and Palestine and Afghanistan, you put a Walmart with an Auntie Anne's in it right there. They're going to be so happy.
Yeah, but I only go when I have a coupon, like a 2-for-1. So.
Oh, okay. They're only a couple bucks a piece, Pat.
Ooh, I think even here they're more than that, aren't they? No,
really? I bought it at the airport yesterday. I think they were $2.50 a piece.
Oh,
the cinnamon.
Wow. Yeah, my wife loves Auntie Anne's.
Well, what's not to like? I didn't know they had the corn dog wrapped in pretzel bread.
Yeah, oof.
So that's what I'm going to do next time.
Yeah, she likes the Parmesan. I like the something sweet like the cinnamon or something like that.
But just when you eat them as you're sitting at the airport, there's cinnamon everywhere. In fact, when I was talking to people, I think I had cinnamon all over my mouth. Because I kept brushing. I felt cinnamon everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's in your chair.
Chair.
In your luggage. Crotch. It's in your pocket.
You're doing the cinnamon challenge without even trying.
I am the Joey Chestnut of cinnamon yesterday.
In between the seats, like that thing you used to advertise in the car. What was that?
Oh, the drop stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had to have somebody watch my luggage again so I could run to the bathroom and wash my hands. Thank God there are honest people out there. I always wonder if when people ask you to watch their luggage, what do you do? I mean, I look at the person and I think, oh, they're cool. They're not going to go and I'm going to get blown up here. But I would imagine some people
said to Muhammad Atta.
I know. Yeah. Hey, Muhammad. I know you didn't know.
Watch my bag.
What? Can you watch my bag?
Watch my bag.
So then if somebody from the airport says, has anyone asked you to watch their bag for them? Do you say yes or no?
This is after you've been through security.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're already sitting at the gate. It's cool. Thanks, Pat.
Surely.
I got this text at 312-521-8600. The cinnamon sticks at Auntie Anne's are good, too.
What with cinnamon isn't good?
That's true.
I mean, let's be honest.
What about, here's a mocker, what about solar panels on the unused mailboxes? Well, that was for the homeless people. They'd have a little electricity in there, too. Okay. My dad bought my daughter two Barbies at a garage sale. They were rough. We called them crackhead Barbies. That's what you had, Leslie.
I had a crackhead Barbie growing up.
Off-brand tablets are just fine for audio. Streaming, maybe not as great for other things, but a bunch on eBay for $25. Can't go wrong for that.
Unless you get a box filled with rocks when they finally arrive.
Well, that's just it. That happens once in a while. All over my lap, some cinnamon from Auntie Anne's. Because there's an Auntie Diana's something, too, isn't there? There are a lot of these pretzel places.
There's
I think there's an Auntie Diane or Aunt Diane's either fudge or pretzels or something.
Did you hear that cupcake place went into business, Crumbs? You ever hear of Crumbs? You never heard of Crumbs?
Is that the expensive cupcake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. All of them. 48 stores across the country. They have here in Chicago.
That cupcake craze. Was there one on Walton over here? Was that where that was?
I think there was.
People were lined up.
But yeah.
The cupcakes were, what, $4, $5
a
piece?
Oh, yeah. Easily. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they had a moment.
Yeah.
It's Krispy Kreme time for that.
Yeah.
Eric?
Yeah. Hi, Gary.
What's up?
Oh, not much. I was going to talk to you about the electrical thing, but the Auntie Anne's, I think what that lady was talking about on the Oasis is on I-90. There's an Auntie Anne's in the Belvedere Oasis just outside of Rockford where I live.
All right.
And we also have one in the Cherryvale Mall. My girlfriend and I, one night, we came to the Auntie Anne's just before they closed, and they had buy one, get one free before they hit the wastebasket. So we were scooping them all up.
I missed that for about 3 minutes yesterday at the airport. When I was sitting there with my bag, and a woman comes by, hey, they just threw all the other ones away. They're right there in the garbage can. As if to say, why did you pay? You
could have
just put your mitt in that garbage can and had a free one.
Right, right. But, hey, I wanted to thank you for your advice. I had my stomach got upset this afternoon. I didn't feel good after I ate some food. And I remember what you said a couple of years ago. Try some ginger. So I actually drank some ginger ale, and now I'm at work. I was actually thinking about calling into work today because I wasn't feeling good at all. But now I'm driving up to Madison, Wisconsin here on I-90, and it's all because I drank a ginger ale. And I remember years ago.
Hold on.
Hey,
top of the hour. Yep. Eric, top of the hour. Hang on.
Spartan! What is your profession?
All right, 6 o'clock. Eric stopped for that, and now you can continue.
So I remembered you said, try ginger, and ginger will settle your tummy. So it did.
I got to tell you, I had a few moments over the vacation where, I don't know, something might have been out in the sun too long. And I thought, uh-oh. And I'm a big promoter of the ginger chews, even though the guy that I promoted, he never bought any advertising, so I kind of backed off. I gave him some free heroin, And then I said, now you got to buy some heroin. But he never really got onto the advertising end, so I just kept it to myself. But these Reed's Ginger Chews, I brought them on vacation, and sure enough, I thought, oh, man, this my stomach is really grinding. I popped one of those. 10, 15 minutes later, felt great.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
But what the reason why I was actually calling was about the electrical. At home, you know, you got the wall warts and all that kind of stuff, your entertainment center, your computer room and that. I've in the last year or two, put everything on power strips. So when I, you know, shut down the computer at night, I just hit the power strip after I shut down the computer, and then that turns off the monitor, the speakers, and I know the computer is not drawing anything at that point from the wall.
Yeah, it's a good
idea.
Same
thing with the wall warts. I mean, I got the wall warts plugged into a power strip right next to my bedside, so when I got the phone charging at night, when I'm done in the morning, I just reach over, hit the power strip, now I know the wall wart's dead. Same thing with the TV in the living room. You know, I got, I don't know if I can say this or not, but I got DirecTV service. I leave that DVR plugged in because it can record my shows, you know, while I'm gone. But the TV set, the entertainment, you know, the sound system and all that is on a power strip. I just hit that when I'm not there. Therefore, it's not sitting there with a little red light, you know, on, even though the TV is off, you know.
Right, and it drains power if you don't have that strip or whatever, even
right.
when it's off.
I mean, it's like you physically are unplugging it from the wall once you hit that power strip switch. But with, you know, with the electrical companies and that, everything's relevant. I mean, that's what I was telling your producer. You know, everybody switched to these CFL bulbs. And, yeah, you know, for the first few months, yeah, you're saving money on your electrical bill. You know, you can cut your electric bill by 30%. But then you got the electrical company beginning of June raising the rates 38%. So, I mean, it's all relevant. I mean, we, you know, the electrical company actually comes out ahead because not are we using less, they don't have to produce as much, but they're making just as much money as they always did.
Grab your ankles. That's what it says right on the bill. They got you either way.
Exactly.
All right, Eric, thank you.
Coming and going. Thank you, Gary. We'll be listening.
Appreciate it. And here's the opening, and
testing
then
up.
Tom Skilly.
Oh, boys! He's back. He's back. He's back.
I'm back!
He's down on the phone.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
America. A Yankees fan fell asleep during a game against the Red Sox in April.
The parts when I was awake blew my mind.
An ESPN cameraman lingered on his drooling face. Now Rip Van Winkle is suing for $10 million, claiming defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Somebody's got to give a shit, not me.
Are you kidding me? If you're not into some solid REM sleep by the fifth inning, you're not getting your money's worth, my friend.
This is for your benefit. Would you kindly wake up?
Just don't spill your beer when your head starts oscillating. A woman in Alabama stole a horse, rode it drunk to a store, and stole cans of beer. Tell me you can't write a number one country and western song out of that. 82 shootings in 84 hours, dozens dead.
The Air Force is standing by.
It is so good to be back home
with an atom bomb
in Chicago.
You can't drop an atom bomb on Chicago.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting the way God and Steve Jobs intended on WGN.FM.
He's down on the phone.
The Super G on the Gear Force in Chicago. Tom Skilling, a rare 6 o'clock appearance.
Yes. Gary, welcome back.
Thank you.
We have missed you.
I appreciate that.
By the way, Gary, thanks for the allowing me to shift schedules here on you.
You had a seminar this afternoon?
Yeah, some meeting came up, and it was kind of a last-minute affair. So, at any rate, I had to attend that.
No, but I'm glad to have you at 6. That's something that used to happen all the time.
I know. It's great to talk. How was your
it was very
time
nice.
Off?
Had the weather, Tom, was perfect every
That's
day.
That's great.
I mean, how can you go 8-9 days and have perfect weather? I did.
I know. You know,
the weather gods were with me. They said, you've suffered enough, my friend.
Absolutely. I'm telling you something. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, the weather here is beautiful. The next couple of days, the humidity's low. It's warm. And so it's pretty nice.
And are we, as with all this humidity and stuff, going to get some thunderstorms? Did I hear that?
That's coming back Friday and the weekend. And, you know, just based on two things. One, the fact we got a jet stream coming through here. And two, the moisture levels are going where they're going. Some of these storms could be heavy again. So, you know, it continues the pattern we've seen through June and early July around here. But we've got a couple of beautiful days before all that starts to happen. So that's good. At least we don't have a typhoon bearing down.
That's what I hear. That's in where?
Well, it's gone through Okinawa, and it's headed into Japan. It's in a weakening state now, but they had wind gusts to 118 miles per hour. They claim it was the biggest typhoon to affect the big base. You know, that's the biggest, I didn't realize this, it's the biggest U.S. military operation we've got over there in the Pacific, the Western Pacific, at Okinawa.
How many? How many people?
I don't know, but I know they have evacuated 540,000. I can't tell you off the prefecture, they call it. That's their version of a state or territory. And so the area in and around the base, they evacuated 540,000 people. But
that's not all military.
No,
I
it's
hope.
Not. It's not.
We have 540,000 in Japan still. I give up. Although we are in 175 countries.
I know.
So when you add all that up, we are everywhere.
Sure.
For what reason, I don't know. Is Japan going to go at it again with us?
I don't think so. Do you?
No. This is since World War II.
But on the other hand, I guess there's, you know, we cast a nervous eye toward China and what's going on.
I know, but
there,
think
so.
About that.
I know.
If a country after the war said, okay, because of the way you acted, we're going to set up shop in your country forever.
Yeah.
How
would
we
feel about
that?
I know.
We wouldn't.
You're right.
How we got away with this, I don't know.
Yeah.
And still, to this day, get away with it.
I don't understand it either, Gary. How would we feel if somebody else's drones were flying over us, you know? But on the other hand, we don't have Al Qaeda sitting around here, so I don't know. It's a
want
a tough call.
Think that there's that connection, but
yeah,
we didn't have any Al Qaeda on September 10th, 2001 either.
No, I know,
but they got in.
You're not going to get a fight from me, Gary.
It just seems like when we
are
talk
on
about
the same page on this one, you know,
summertime.
So
we don't want to get into this,
right? Hey, have you been outside?
Hey.
Dining outside.
Hey. I mentioned this a few minutes ago.
I'm sure you probably have not been inside.
Tom, you're right. Every meal on vacation was out. I didn't eat one meal inside.
Good for you.
And it was hot soup, and it was hot out, and I was happy. And
I know.
As I mentioned, I was the only one sitting outside at some places. I didn't care.
That's
Put me outside. I walk in the restaurant because you have to go to the hostess desk.
Yeah.
I'd like to sit outside. Well, there's nobody sitting out there. I go, well, I'm going to sit out there.
Right.
Yeah. And these people huddled in these restaurants with the air conditioning at 49. This is more comfortable? Sitting in this cold restaurant?
I think one of the greatest developments in this city is the number of restaurants that have moved, to dining outdoors, or at least offer that option. It's pretty cool.
Well, I was at the same place 4 afternoons in a row because it was one of the only outdoor places. They don't have a lot of outdoor places in this area, and I'm going to go back to the place that does.
Good for
you. Got my business.
So, you know, I get a kick, Gary, every time I drive by Oak Street Beach and I see the restaurant that was set up there. I remember when you and I and Cindy went over there. And
yeah,
we got
to do that. I don't think we've been there since the last time we went there.
Yeah, I know. It's been ages, and I love that place.
We are going to do that.
I know. We've got to do that. That. You're absolutely right.
So the storm this morning, what time did that go through?
Oh, it went through here actually toward daybreak. We had them going through around 4 to 6 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever time it was. So I'm in deep REM sleep, and I had the window open, but the shade over the window.
Yeah.
And because everything was still last night.
Sure.
And I liked that breeze, even though that was not unbearable.
No,
I'll put the
air
on if it's unbearable.
It's kind of moderate humidity.
Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I hear the shade rattling, and I'm in that deep sleep, and I jump up. And I got to shut the window, and I'm half away, and you run around shutting all the windows.
Right, and the building's kind of swaying.
You're right. It must have been toward daybreak because I went back and lied down again, and then it seems like 15 minutes later the sun was up.
Yeah.
And
you missed a heck of a storm. You were out of town last Monday when that thing hit, right?
Yeah.
You were already gone.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk to Sean here, and then we'll talk about
that. Okay, okay.
Because I want to make sure I heard something right about that storm. Sean?
Hello, Gary?
Yes.
We're on the air?
Yes.
I'm sorry to bother you during your show. I just wanted to let you know that, first of all, don't get nervous, but Bob Bibble isn't going anywhere, but there will be a shadow Bibble.
I have a He's referring to the fact that today they laid this on me as I'm getting my new office sorted out. Dieter comes in, or
Dilbert.
And I'm thinking, I said to him when he walked in, I said, I thought I'd never see you again by being downstairs now. And he laughed. And then he took a box off the couch and sat down. Okay, here's, and they started unrolling some other thing. And you're going to have a shadow producer because Craig is going to be doing another show. That's my producer for the last several years. And I said, wait a minute, am I getting screwed in this in some way again? No, you're going to have more people working on the show. I said, okay. And I didn't have the energy because first day back from vacation.
Yeah, you've got enough
you're,
on your mind.
You're kind of mellow. Right. And you're just like, hey, it's all, I got to unload these boxes. So I don't know what this is about yet. So Craig, about 20 minutes ago, is he back?
No, he went down.
About 20 minutes ago, I'm producing Patty Vasquez's show on the AM, so I got to go get something to eat because it shouldn't start till 11, I think.
11?
So he's going to stay
11
here?
11 till 2 a.m.
And that, what, then he goes home.
I don't know if he's going home. He's got here at what time? 11 o'clock? 11:30?
Well, I'm letting him come in a little later to accommodate that. So Sean is telling me now there might be a shadow Bibble and a shadow Leslie and
wow.
a hand puppet.
Shadow
and,
Tom.
And
yeah,
shadow Tom. Yeah, and a shadow Scott Stantis. And I really don't know anymore. I just go with the flow. It's easier.
Now, look, Harry, I just want to make sure you understand that this does not mean that Battle Bibble is off the show. Your Shadow Bibble will be almost the same Bibble. Instead of liking Elton John, he'll like Olivia Newton-John.
I know.
Very similar.
What was that Seinfeld episode where they had the...
Bizarro Jerry.
Bizarro Jerry. Yeah, it's Bizarro Craig, Bizarro Bibble, Bizarro Tom. It's just Bizarro universe here. I'll give you that. All right, Sean.
Anyway, I just wanted to call and give you a hard time.
Well, I appreciate that. If there's one thing I like when I come back from vacation, it's getting a hard time. That's my favorite thing. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay.
Well, if Keith is the producer, you should just call him the Shadow.
The Shadow.
That should be his
my
name.
Producer. You know, Tom.
Where does he come from? Where is Keith coming from?
Keith, get on the microphone there. Let's just find out.
Oh, Keith is already there.
He's already here. In fact, he came into the office holding my balls.
I beg your pardon.
With Craig. No, I have these leather baseballs. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That I had set up.
Wow. Yeah, but this is,
no, wait,
you know.
No, wait. No, I really mean it.
No, really. I mean it.
I have these leather baseballs that I've had for decades, and I had them set up in Craig's area, all nice.
Gary, I'm glad you clarified that for us.
And I said to Craig, Craig, did you bring my leather baseball?
Now we know why Keith is here.
I said, did you bring my leather baseballs down? He goes, oh, no, I'll go up and get them. So he goes up and he comes back and he walks in and he's got three or four of the balls in his hands. And then Keith is right behind him and he's holding some of the balls.
Good way to come back from vacation.
And I thought, okay, now is this the shadow port where you are really shadowing? You're literally 2 feet behind him doing the exact same thing he's doing. Keith, what is your story? How long have you been here? What have they told you? And how much of it is bullshit? Go ahead, Keith.
I've been here since March, working actually on Patty's show.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
And
it's like a Jeff Samardzija trade.
Exactly. That's pretty much how it went down.
All right, so you've been doing that show since March, and when did they come in and tell you that they're going to pull a fast one on me?
Monday.
Last Monday?
No.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Everything happened yesterday.
What did they tell you? So just so I know if I'm getting some kind of tap dance.
They told me that I'd be shadowing Craig for a while, and then, eventually I would be... spending a lot more time with you, and Craig would be spending a lot more time with Patty.
Say,
well, it sounds like a breakup to me.
Keith, did you want better, daytime hours?
I will say, I am definitely not complaining about the
hours. No, I was going to say, this is a great deal.
I have to do this on the air because I can't make sense of it in private anymore. Was there a problem with Craig that I didn't know about? And not anything against you, I don't know you.
Well, we just met when I was holding your ball.
Exactly. I don't know this guy from...
But that's a good way to get to know him.
Adam's off.
Well,
I didn't think I had any more after the last 6 weeks, but here he was holding them. So I don't know what happened.
Everybody's been holding them lately.
Squeezing them. Certainly squeezing them. I swear to God...
We're taking them home.
Somebody here is going, okay, what can we do this week...
To make his life...
To make him think he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And... Here I am in this, it's all boxes. Because they told me 2 days before vacation they're moving my office.
Well, now, where did your office go?
We're down to the first floor.
And you had been where?
On the seventh floor.
You got the security desk.
I'm in my car.
See, well, you know, it's easy to get out of there, you know, at night.
They don't want one thing to settle before they got something else brewing. Now, I don't know why Craig is moving, if that's in fact the case.
Well, yesterday was a big day then because they told Keith, and then they also moved. They had a week to move your office, and yet they moved
did it all
like
yesterday.
Four ticks to midnight. They moved your office.
I don't know. That doesn't matter because, like I said, it wouldn't matter if they moved it early this morning. It's all in there. I have to sort it out.
Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, somebody came in and asked me, when are you going on vacation? Because they need to move your office.
Yeah.
Then they waited till midnight.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, he's coming back tomorrow. We got to move his office.
Well, how do you like the new space? Is it a good one? The only thing
that I wish I had, I like a window that opens. Now, here's the weather guy of the universe.
A window? What is that?
He's in the interior of that building. Geez. He doesn't even have a window.
No.
So I have little to complain about. But I just...
Gary, I'll send you one of my monitors because they have nice views from the Hancock building on them, you know, and
but the
TV
office,
monitors.
The office I had on the seventh floor had windows that opened. I really, that to me...
Because
I didn't have it the first few years I was here on the bottom floor. Those windows didn't open.
Right.
So when I got upstairs, I thought, I can open a window. And as people know that come in my office, even when it's hot out, I got the window open. I like the fresh air.
Now, there's a surprise. Anybody who loves the warm weather like you do.
So I like the window open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the window that I have now is out onto this plaza here next to the Tribune. It's one of those giant windows. There's no way it ever opened.
Mm-hmm.
So they also have this screen over it to advertise Howells and Hood, the restaurant next door that took over the old offices, because I guess they pay for that.
Uh-huh.
But at least you can see through mine.
No, what is
I can
it?
See through it.
Painted on the screen?
No,
is that the ad for
them? It's one of those scrims that just they put it inside the window.
I see.
Now,
okay.
The other offices that the other Shlomos are going down into here, one doesn't have any windows. That's Pete McMurray, so he must have really done something bad.
He's got the Skilling office.
He's got would be the Tom Skilling Memorial office.
Right. Hey, I moved up in the world. You know, I used to be back in the corner of the studio behind the news set. That's where I was
really?
For many, many years. Oh, yeah.
See, I got to get you down to this Tribune College space.
Well, that would be.
Right on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, that would
That's
be
where you
incredible.
Belong.
Yeah.
Now, the other office.
What do you think the chances of that happening are, Gary?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Gary's got a lot of pull around here.
No,
so I'm sure there'll be no problem.
That's right.
Tom,
look.
Say no more, my man.
I take the space right
what do you
here.
Need?
What do you need? I got cigarettes. I got heroin. I got whatever you need. You just tell me what you want.
It's like Tammany Hall over here.
Yeah. I'm boss hog, buddy. You tell me what you need, and I'll get it.
Yeah.
I got a guy over here who's my new producer. I have no idea why. I'm Keith. Patty, I guess, said she wanted Craig, and that's all she had. I guess if you want to get down to the Tribune Tower, talk to Patty Vasquez. She seems to have more pull than I do.
You know, I met Patty at the parade, and she was out there.
What
with
parade?
The Pride Parade. Yeah, the whole WGN float was out there. So Patty was there, and I talked to her before, but I'd never met her face
to face. Did she say she was going after my producer?
No.
Did she indicate
this is news to me, Gary? No. And we, you know, I can't say we exactly sat around and talked about, you know, the producers for the shows, but no, that didn't come up. So I don't know.
I'm gonna. See, again...
Keith sounds like a good guy, though.
I don't know anything about Keith.
He sounds good.
Keith, as I call him.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I have
I don't
to switch
know this
my producer.
Keith, I don't know what he does for a living, but why don't you just stay with us from The Godfather when Connie wants to get married. I don't know this guy. I don't know what he does for a living.
I just don't know why all of this change has to happen all at once.
Yeah.
Why it all happened is beyond me in some cases.
You know,
but
changes...
But they do it. There's this whole... There's no kind of, hey, what do you think?
No,
or if they do say, what do you think? I'll say, I don't think so. And they'll go, F you, we're doing it anyway.
Well, they bypass that other step now because they know that you're going to not want to do it.
Poor engineer. The 2 days before I go on vacation, he comes into my office with the floor plan of my new office. And I looked at him, I go, what new office? He goes, the one downstairs. What new office downstairs? So now I'm yelling at this guy. He has nothing to do with the decision. He's just the messenger. And then I said, well, I'm leaving on vacation. When am I going to do this? I don't want to pack boxes now. Oh, you don't have to do anything. But I had the assistant producer That's what I'm calling her. I tried to get her on the payroll today.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if that can happen. Erin.
We'll like that. Now, that's a new one. I hadn't heard her before.
Okay, so she's been very helpful.
Yeah.
In getting, she packed up a lot of the stuff, and then they moved it down, and then I'm trying to get it all sorted out. And then Dilbert comes in with this, and I go, what? I said at the end of his little spiel, am I getting screwed again? Is that what you're telling me? Oh, no. You're going to have more people working on your show than ever. This is more.
You're going to have more shadows.
More shadows.
You don't believe how many shadows. No one's going to be here, but going to be a bunch of shadows.
Shadows everywhere. You get a shadow.
You get a shadow.
Bibble, Leslie, everybody gets a shadow. Wait till you see it.
I was surprised to see that no one else moved. Like, I mean, the weird part is you're the only one down there.
What do you mean?
In those new offices.
Well, they are.
You think it's just a scam?
No, because I saw, Pete McMurray came in after I came in today. Go, hey, welcome, neighbor. He goes, you want to see my office? And when I saw his office, I thought, I'm the tallest midget. Because the other ones look like telemarketing offices. And the other offices, they have those giant windows, too, but they have these scrims. Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
where you can't see through them. And they're advertising the Walk of Fame, and you can't mind, at least you can see through.
Well, that's good.
These, you can't even see through them, so they are in there, and I get claustrophobic if I can't open a window or something.
But on Monday, didn't you expect today to come in and see all those offices filled with people?
Well, I talked to another producer, and she said that she's starting to move. She's dreaded it, but she's got to start moving her stuff this week.
Oh, all right. So we are going to.
Now, is this the area that was gutted, that was up at the time? You know, they took the walls out, and pictures showed up on Facebook of what it looked like during the construction?
This is what's left over after the Howls and Hood restaurant took over the old offices and studios.
See,
this is the corridor.
Down there, Gary. I haven't seen these changes.
It's
so.
The hallway.
It's where adjacent to the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
Wow.
I can.
Oh, is that where the Walk of Fame is? I never even saw
you it. Son of a unappreciative bastard of not Walk of Fame.
We never have to look outside anymore. We're up here. I never even see the
Walk of Fame. I got the Walk of Shame. That's what I'm in. They got a plaque in the bathroom with my name on it. Go step on
it's
them.
It's not there anymore.
I'll talk to Patty. She'll get it back.
He took it out on Monday.
Yeah, Tom. Hey, can you help me get down to Michigan Avenue? Oh, yeah, Tom, I can help you. In the meantime, I got things going on I can't even control.
You're going to be back on Michigan Avenue outside.
Yeah, you'll be on Michigan Avenue. Gary, you could be in a tent out on the Walk of Fame. You know,
by Nathan Hale statue.
Yeah.
Right.
He's sitting there with a card table.
Bring Marilyn back and put you under her. You know, just.
Marilyn Monroe statue.
Put a desk under there, you know, in a tent.
That's not so bad.
Tom's just laying into it too now.
He's working for management.
Yeah,
this is going
to
happen.
And when I look up to Marilyn, I can see the same thing I've seen for the last several weeks. You got to laugh, Tom.
I know.
But
you do, Gary.
I do have a thing about when I come back from vacation, I want the first day to at least be
somewhat
kind of, hey.
Yeah,
because when you go on vacation, the whole point of going on vacation is to kind of get your mind right. And I had such a great time, and you want to come back and just go, hey.
And not have a wall of new stuff hit you.
And I swear to God.
So how long was it when you were in the office by yourself until he came?
Here's, I wasn't in the office 4 minutes before the salesman came in. Hey, can you help me out? Okay, he came in and did his spiel. And then Pete McMurray, he showed me his cell. And then that other salesman came in and said, hey, how about if you put your couch up on that bench?
On the bench.
It's going to look like the Simpsons up there. How are you going to sit on a couch that's 4 feet off the ground? So then Dilbert came in.
So he gave you, what, about an hour?
Maybe.
To settle in?
Okay. Maybe.
Welcome back to reality.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, you don't think you have that much stuff until you start opening drawers all this
Isn't
stuff.
Isn't that the truth?
Really?
Yeah. You know, if I think, whenever I think about moving from here, oh, my word. I've got so much garbage that's piled up over the years. It's just
frightening. I've seen yours. You're a hoarder.
It really
is. Mister.
It's pretty bad. Although, I went away for a couple of days and I came back. They cleaned up my makeup area, and that was pretty disgusting looking over there.
You wear makeup?
The morning crew. No, you know, I dropped makeup. Well, it hadn't been cleaned in about 5 years.
Do you do your own makeup?
I do. Yeah.
False
and
eyelashes.
Badly, by hand, too.
I mean at work.
No. Believe me, you can imagine. What I know about makeup is you throw some powder on a pad and you you go over your hair, follically challenged head, so it doesn't.
But high
shine,
definition,
you know?
Though, you really.
I know.
It's very unflattering
it
to
really
everybody.
Is.
I mean,
no.
You could be Kate up that it looked like a.
I know.
A hag if you're not careful.
Yeah, you could have a dermatologist do kind of like an inspection of your pores, you know. You know, and just. Yeah.
I'm gonna wear my Guy Fawkes mask every time I do television now. Hey, I got to talk to you about. First of all, the parade went well.
Yo,
everything was good.
Oh my word! That parade gets longer every year. It was amazing. And you know, at the end, you get these people that are telling you you're going to go to hell and all the rest.
That's terrific.
Just, yeah,
there were people that were yelling that.
Oh yeah, well they were on Michigan Avenue the night before because we went down. I went to see Motown, and I'm going to see that Sting. You know, the last ship. This weekend. Have you guys seen that?
No, I haven't. The Motown thing is really good, right?
Very good. Yes, it is. Although, you know, it's amazing to me with the, I don't know, with the collection of songs that you could choose from. I'm really surprised they chose only the ones they did. But that cast is just amazing. You look at the every one of those people could have their own show.
Yeah.
It's just it's stunning.
And then you're going to see the last ship.
Yeah, the last ship. And so I always think of the Dana Carvey bit on Sting, you know, and how he announced at age 16 that, hello, you know, effective tomorrow I'll be known merely as Sting.
As Sting.
Yeah, Sting, not Stung. Sting. And so it was,
people were yelling
like
at you
music.
Because you went to the theater?
What's that? No,
in the parade.
Oh, no.
But he said on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah. I don't know. Why did I bring that up?
You said people were yelling, then you said on Michigan Avenue, the parade doesn't go down Michigan Avenue.
No, it doesn't go down. No, it's just the parade route is very, very long. Oh, no, what I was talking about were those people protesting the Pride Parade at the end, and they were out on Michigan Avenue the night before the parade with signs and all along Michigan Avenue. So that was interesting.
I think that's
a group in from that church out in Kansas, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think that lovely group that protested funerals.
Crazy, crazy people out there.
Yeah,
give it up. You're not in charge. Nobody put you in charge of anything. So move on. Now that storm, did I hear this right? That people were walking to O'Hare on the Kennedy because there was a flooded area there.
Did I
hear that right?
Well, those storms were terrible. There were two lines that came through, two derechos, and the first one turned out to be the mildest of the two. The second one put down about seven tornadoes around here. So actually, I think at nine is the final count on that. Nine different tornadoes. They were little ones, EF1s. The winds were basically 90 to 110 miles an hour, but lots of damage all over the place. And where there weren't these little mini spin-up tornadoes, there were straight-line winds. So it was a pretty mean group of storms.
The viaduct going into O'Hare was flooded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Irving
Monday
Park,
morning.
The underpass there that
and
always
people
goes.
Were walking.
Yeah, because their cars. I
mean, on the expressway.
It was 2
yeah.
hours just to get into O'Hare. You couldn't get in.
Yeah, it was really bad.
People
yeah.
Well,
yeah, with their luggage, walking down the expressway.
Gee, can you imagine? Boy, it's tough enough getting to the airport under the best of circumstances, but with the whole place flooded out and I'm a flight ready to leave.
And how many people did that?
I don't know. Did you hear?
I didn't hear how many people. I just know that they said that it was a 2-hour wait.
Yeah.
And it was Monday morning.
Yeah.
It came through.
You did not miss
Sunday
much,
night.
You got out of here just in time to miss that thing. That was a mess.
That happened what day?
That was Monday.
Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my friend George was texting me, Tom's calling on extra people. We got some weather here coming in.
I know.
And you had extra staff or something manning the fort?
Oh, yeah. We had, we were trying to stay on top of that thing the whole time. It was pretty amazing. The models did a pretty good job with it, but that line formed out in Nebraska and South Dakota, made it all the way here and then continued east from here. So it was, those derechos, they hold together for, hundreds of miles, sometimes 1,000 miles, and they do damage the whole way, and this was one of those, that's for sure. You didn't miss much, Gary. That was a good time to leave.
That's why I go to Midway.
Yeah, yeah. Did you go out of Midway this time?
I always go out of Midway if possible, 90% of the time.
Oh, we've gotten some really great shots. People have sent photographs of that fog and stratus that came in last week, and the buildings would poke up above it. But as the planes flew over out of Midway, the shots of the skyscrapers and all were just amazing.
On Tom's weather photos.
Yeah, it was really good. I had something other than what did you what did What was Elton Jim's suggestion for the name of that segment? We didn't need to go that route.
Oh, Tom's
insects.
It was. You were doing shots of bugs or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Copulating critters.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right. Right.
Copulating
critters. Right.
That started.
You were talking about.
Yeah.
Getting all bugs. You said
right.
Maybe people should send in bugs.
Yeah, well, no, you said that. I think
it doesn't matter who said it. I do remember now.
Yeah.
It was pictures of bugs having carnal knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
And Tom's carnal knowledge photos or
somebody
something.
Somebody had said a couple of bugs or spiders in the backyard or something or on their window and going at it or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so at any rate.
We thought that could be a segment.
Yeah. Right.
And management said, no.
You can imagine, Gary.
You got new management over there. Come on.
New boss.
I know.
How's your new boss?
Good. I like Greg Easterly. He's a good guy.
And you got a new news director, too.
Yes, right? And Jennifer Lyons.
She's been there a long time.
She has. She has. Hardest working woman and anybody in TV news. I've never seen anybody work so hard in my life. So it's a nice promotion for Jennifer, and she deserves it.
Good, because I want to revisit on
yeah.
the...
Yeah, you ought to come over here
in the line of Meyer.
In the line of Meyer.
I think that would be great.
I think I'm a good paper with her, right? Who knows?
Absolutely. I
ever call Todd.
Never call Dilbert over here, because he'll put in a good word.
Yeah. Oh, I always love those segments. I got
enjoyed those.
Those were great.
Now, this is my pitch.
Uh-huh.
When you watch 60 Minutes... Even though you knew Andy Rooney was a curmudgeon and all that, didn't you still wait to see what he was talking about at the end of 60 Minutes every week?
He always looked mean to me.
Yes, and he was.
I know.
But and that didn't matter. You still, and those stories and Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes, and you would wait to see Andy Rooney, right?
Yeah. I didn't wait for Andy Rooney, I tell you.
There's my pitch.
I like
that's
this.
My pitch.
The one guy Tom doesn't like.
Yeah, you're not going to help me then if I talk to her.
You leave Andy Rooney in the dust.
Well, I'm not saying I'm doing Andy Rooney stuff. It's just my point is the commentary. I like commentary like that.
You don't,
but I do.
No, I do. I do. And what I found about you, your commentary was always so relevant. I mean, you talked about things that were going on right now. I'll never forget. Look at this violence we've got going on in the city.
This is ridiculous.
Is this something? This is just amazing.
I mean, those numbers are war numbers.
I know.
84 shot, 15 dead on a weekend?
It's incredible. It's just amazing. You wonder when it's going to stop. And it's going on in all over the place. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And there's going to be retaliation for those shootings, at least to some extent. And the cycle continues.
I know. And I don't know.
So I come back to that, and my producer is being switched or something.
In your office move.
And my office is full of boxes.
I'm telling you, Gary, you got...
I got a real problem, Tom.
No, you know what?
Hall of Fame.
Don't they say if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger?
No, I'm like Iron Man now. I am Iron Man, my friend.
Although I remember Christopher Hitchens when he said that among the phrases that he had abandoned was... this notion that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. He said after he got his terminal cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, that didn't do it because he died.
That's right.
Yeah.
He said, getting one of those, he said, is like somebody saying, hey, there's a party going on and you've just been disinvited. And I thought, well, that's an interesting way to put it.
I got a friend who's been in the hospital 70 plus days.
Yeah.
And he's battling cancer. And whenever I go through this nonsense, I think, okay, now, that's real.
It is.
This is silly stuff. I can deal with this. That's real stuff.
It's true. I saw it with my parents. It is amazing, isn't it? It's humbling when you see real issues like that, life and death.
Tell me about this.
Yeah.
We go to this restaurant, and I walk out of the restaurant, and it's sunset at this point, so it wasn't very hot, but there was a dog... I'm standing there waiting for some people, and I look at this car, and there's a dog lying on the package shelf in the back.
Yeah. Had he been there? Was it hot?
Well, like I said, it wasn't hot, and it was sunset, so the sun wasn't out.
Right.
And they had all the windows opened about 2 inches.
Right.
But the dog obviously found that to be the most comfortable space, and I thought, hey, they say not to do that, obviously, certainly in the heat of the day. And I thought it was a fake until I saw the breathing.
Wow.
But I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get it because, you know, a lot of people carry guns now, and I don't want to get involved with
stuff. No, I know. You don't know what
you're
doing.
Mind your own business, da-da-da. And what do I go in the restaurant and go, who's got the dog in the car? Well, how do I?
So, in other words, this is one of the patrons of the restaurant that left the dog in there.
Yeah.
You know, I've had our dogs in the car, and I've run into the store quickly to get something, you know, and come out. It's never been a hot day. I would never leave my dog in a situation like that.
They obviously went in to have dinner.
I wouldn't go in to have dinner.
They
with
cracked
dog.
All the windows about an inch, and there was the dog lying on the package shelf.
Wow.
Kind of sleeping. I would, too.
Yeah.
But I thought, because it's kind of, again, everything goes back now to claustrophobia.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the dog is in there after a while, and that's why they start ripping things up, because they get bored or restless or whatever.
Was this here, or was this when you were on vacation?
No, this was in Pennsylvania.
I see.
And I had never seen that before. I've heard these stories where people leave their animals in the car.
Yeah, and go and have a meal.
Yeah, and it's hot and the dog dies, or even kids.
Well, look at that story with that guy, you know, and his wife who left the...
By accident.
Yeah, well, that's what they claim.
You hope, but that's got to be a hell of a way to die as a kid or anything.
Oh, my word.
But I just thought it was weird, even though, again, it wasn't hot, and it was sunset.
Yeah.
But I just, I find myself going, should I go say something? But then... There's a bunch of people in the restaurant. How do I say to the hostess, can you page the person with the dog in the car?
Right.
And then they come out, what's your problem?
Yeah.
And then you know you're in it.
Right.
Now what?
Yeah. I know. When I was in Hawaii one time, we stopped at this Humane Society place just to look at the dogs. I don't know why. It was just on the way, and so we stopped. I had to leave the place. These animals, you could adopt any and every one of them and take them home. They were just adorable, but... just to see them in a cage, I thought, oh, my gosh. And, you know, they were being well-treated. But even that bothered me. So, watching an animal in a car would be...
Yeah. The whole world is screwed up. Where do you start? Now that you tell me we have how many thousands in Okinawa?
Yeah.
Well, I got to think about that.
40,000.
Yeah, that's my tax dollar.
Well,
protecting Apple factory.
Gary, I don't know that they're all ours. That's how many were evacuated. And I'm sure they're citizens of the area.
Say it's 50,000. Because you said, 450,000?
Yeah, 540,000. Yeah,
okay.
They claim we're
evacuated. I'm going to guess at least 20,000 are military.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Good guess?
I think that sounds plausible.
Why do we need to protect Okinawa?
Well, when you see what's going on here, it seems to me we've got some issues at home. Don't you think?
We got a lot of issues.
I know.
I'm reading these stories about Detroit, and the New York Times are doing a series of stories, and we got a city right here that needs to be completely redone.
Yeah.
Let's get everybody home and start working on this stuff.
Good point. Good point.
And I'm Gary Meyer on In the Line of Meyer on WGN. That's my little take for
you
Jennifer.
You want to run for office. You make too much sense, though.
Right.
That's the thing. But you'd be a heck of a politician.
Yeah.
Maybe you wouldn't be. No, you wouldn't be a politician because you're too truthful. But that doesn't mean all politicians are that way, though. I think there are some that are well-intentioned, don't you?
I think some, but I think they get in and they feel that they're in a rat's nest and they can't really do anything.
And in reality, how are you going to keep everybody happy? You know, it just doesn't happen.
Well, that's impossible, but there is a certain threshold that you can hopefully accomplish.
I know.
That gets everything under control. This state is so massively misrun, and the city, because of all the corruption and stuff over the years, that where do you start? We shouldn't have this much debt when we've had this much building going on in Chicago for the last 25 years.
It is pretty remarkable.
The more we pull in taxes, the more in debt we are.
Yeah.
And I'm Gary Meyer on In the Line of Meyer on WGN. There's another one. I'm getting chill bumps.
You're like the Len O'Connor of 2014, And I am Gary Meyer.
G-Man, what the F is a package shelf? You stunad, soft cinnamon pretzel, welcome back. That's Fiddler. That's Fiddler Downtown checking in.
Wow.
Do you know what a package shelf is?
I think I do. Yeah.
What do you think it is?
It's up right under the rear window, right?
Yeah. That shelf that is in some.
I didn't know it was called that, but that's what I.
That's what I've always. What else do you call it?
I think that's a good name for it.
The Chihuahua with the lit up eyes when you hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Stand.
Right.
That's what I've always heard it as. What else would you call that?
I don't know. I think that's a good name. Let's just accept the name.
Generally, people would throw stuff in that area if you had
like hats.
Right.
Hats. They put baseball hats.
Oh, packages, yeah. And things.
Absolutely.
Speakers are in there.
That's right. Speakers could be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had one of those, the view would probably be obscured with all the stuff that I piled up there.
Here's a text. Are we going to have a start, or are we going to have to start a Bring Back Craig Facebook page now? This is getting exhausting.
A BBC page.
Yeah,
a BBC.
The station's whole Facebook page and website is Bring Back Stuff. Yeah. Just laugh at it. There's nothing else you can do but laugh.
That's right.
Because the crying would just be
debilitating. Until next week.
What else have I got? There's nothing left. What else can they do?
Remember the guy who was dying of a terminal disease, and he decided, what the heck? He went out and he rented a bunch of comedies and bought incredible food and decided he was going to go out having a great time and eating well. And before it was all over, they couldn't find the cancer anymore. He'd cured himself.
They say, and I know it's a cliche, laughter is the best medicine,
yeah.
And they have found that people who, and they do suggest that if you're in a funk, depression or whatever, start watching funny movies or anything that makes you laugh,
yeah.
And it does something in your cranium there that stimulates some chemical.
I believe that. Have you ever had a gut laugh? Just something really hits you as funny, and you laugh hysterically, and I don't know, whatever it does to you, you do feel better after that.
It's intoxicating.
It is. And, well, you know, I remember there was an article in the Tribune about gallows humor, and I always used to feel, you know, after some tragic event, you always hear these seemingly tasteless jokes and all the rest, but they had some psychiatrists talking about this and commenting on it, and they said it's actually good. It's a procedure we've developed to deal with terrible circumstances.
Can't make any worse, right?
Right.
It can only stay the same or go up. It can't make you feel worse.
That's true.
And I got plenty to laugh about. So that I'm going to be so healthy. People said to me today, boy, you look healthy.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Well, you've been laughing your entire vacation, right, Gary?
Sure. And that's my story. By the way, I don't know if you heard, before I went on vacation, I went to the Sox outlet in Oak Forest, and I got 18 pairs of socks and 11.
Wow.
Is it pair or pairs?
I'd say pairs, but I wonder.
A pair of socks. A pair,
right.
18, all right. 18
but
pairs of socks, 11 pairs of underwear for $53 total.
Wow.
Huh?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
That is. Now, what encouraged you to do this?
Well,
I mean, was it
every now and then,
the dresser pair?
You look at your underwear and your socks, and they're worn out, and you got to get new.
Sure.
And that's what I did. I did my, it's kind of a semi-annual thing.
I see.
And I figured it's time, so, and it put me in a good mood to go on vacation.
Well, that's good.
Because here's what I like to do in my luggage. I like to have the socks and the underwear in the package. In case they go through my luggage, it's all new. There's no commenting on, look at that.
Yeah.
It's all in the package.
That's true.
Yeah. It's not even out of the package yet.
Yeah. You do wonder when people go through your luggage if they're looking at stuff, you know, and just...
Well, I had that happen at Midway years ago, and still, to this day, scars me.
I know.
Right in the middle of the terminal, this police officer's going through my stuff. This is pre-9/11. This is just, they profiled back then.
And you had longer hair.
I fit the profile instead of a drug trafficker. I was coming off a flight from Florida. And here's the good old days when you didn't have to use a ticket with your name on it. I had somebody else's ticket.
Right.
With another name. It was,
how did they not
it was like
just
John
send you,
Smith.
How did they not send you away?
And then I had my metal luggage and all the profile points. We're there, and then this guy, as I'm walking out, he kind of caught my eye, and I thought, well, that was weird. And then 10 seconds later, excuse me, and I turn around, he's got his badge out. He goes, can I talk to you a minute? I go, yeah. He goes, come over here, and he said, you fit this profile of this drug trafficker from Florida, because I was coming from Miami, I think. He said, let me see your ticket.
Mr. Escobar, can you please step over?
El Chapo, if that is in fact your real name.
Right.
So he looks at my ticket, and then he looks at my driver's license, and they're not the same name. I'm like, this is how there are guys in prison for no reason.
Yeah.
This happens
You're
once in
Billy
a while.
Hayes. Yeah.
Well, he really was trafficking.
Gary, I hope you had a two-way ticket, because that would have been the
Can I check your luggage? And I go, what if I say no? He goes, well, then I got to take you to the police station. Oh, I go, I'm not going to do that. So right in the middle of Old Midway, classic Midway, as we call it, he puts my luggage on this chair, opens it up, and he's pulling stuff out.
Jeez.
And I'm now, this is after the trip.
Jeez.
So now I'm trafficking. The only thing I'm trafficking is dirty clothes.
Jeez.
That's all. And he goes, you're clean.
Except for these clothes.
Right, yeah. I've frisked a million punks.
He's clean.
You know, they had a piece with Malcolm Gladwell on 60 Minutes this past weekend, and they were talking about how he can walk around pretty. He's the famous author. And they were talking about the way he walks around New York pretty incognito. And he says, I have long hair, he said, which makes me look cooler than I really am. But I'm thinking of you with long hair there, and apparently this guy didn't think you looked
so
cool.
It was the 80s. I had the leather pants, the whole profile. I guess I should have applied for the drug mule thing because I had the look. You're clean.
Yeah.
Get out of here, you dirty scum.
Wow.
Yeah,
that would be traumatizing.
Suddenly you're thinking, and that's why they say when you're going through the security line now, they look for people that start sweating and stuff because they know that they're trying to pull something and they can't hold it in.
But, you know, have you ever crossed the border? You're going across into Canada and then you come back, and you always feel like you're guilty of something just because of the way they look at you.
I know.
You know?
Even if you're not, your sphincter is tighter than a pencil sharpener.
No, it's like driving down the street and having a squad car behind you, you know, and you're thinking, uh-oh. And then, you immediately look down at the
speedometer. Venezuela.
Yeah.
Caracas. We take a cruise, and they dock in Caracas.
Uh-huh.
So we decide we're going to go check out the local.
Yeah.
And I'm on crutches because I had broken my ankle.
Oh.
So we go out to this restaurant. We're in this restaurant, and these police or whatever military guys come in with machine guns and walk through the restaurant looking for somebody.
Oh, brother.
And there are people washing their clothes in a dirty river. It was just like the postcards.
Yeah.
So then we're heading back to the ship, and we're going through this one tunnel to get to the ship, and I'm on my crutches, and this guy with a machine gun in a military uniform goes,
gun, which is a bit intimidating to begin with.
Are you smuggling drugs in that cat? No. I thought, no.
I fell off
what
a curb. I fell off a curb of champagne.
No, Rockford. I mean, no. And then my partner and some other people just kept walking.
Oh, that's
let him, he's a savage. Yeah.
Let him lose his soul.
Or his life to these Venezuelan police. And that was third world. What we saw, that is crazy time.
I remember my one and only trip down to Cancun, and these guys walking down, the soldiers walking down the beach with guns and all. I thought, wow, you talk about feeling guilty, right off the bat. You think, and a little nervous about that. Because how do you know they're not going to look at you?
They're
maybe they've got some quota to bring
those
enough certain number of people
in. Those countries, it's all kind of Western. Wild West, where they're walking around with machine guns all the time, and that's just the way it is.
Well,
and everybody looks like they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And they usually are.
But to see these people washing their clothes in this dirty stream, you get back on the ship and think, we are living in the right country right now.
I know.
Not to say that Italy isn't nice or any of these other countries, but okay, they don't wash their clothes in the river in Italy.
No, I know.
This is in South America.
We take
and have
things.
A midnight buffet with a big ice sculpture.
Exactly. Right.
We do take things for granted.
Then I would walk around the deck, and they were throwing garbage into the ocean. I thought, geez, what is happening?
When were you down in Venezuela?
20-some years ago.
Wow.
We did a cruise to the Panama Canal.
My father did that, and he loved it. They stopped in Venezuela, too. So he thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. You're going through those locks and all that kind of stuff?
That Panama Canal thing is fascinating.
I bet it is.
You see all that dug out by hand with spoons for the first year.
Yeah.
So we went down there and brought some equipment.
Yeah, but they were big spoons.
We brought better equipment. We brought shovels. Because the French were digging it out with spoons. We came in with shovels. And we finished it in 4 years.
Isn't that where they started using quinine for malaria?
Yeah. I mean, the mosquitoes were killing these guys left and right.
Gee.
And they sent the entomologist
Sounds
down there.
Sounds delightful,
doesn't
it?
He killed every mosquito.
Gee.
He came back and I killed every mosquito.
Gee. Well, that's a, they used to say when building the Alcan Highway, it was the same thing up there. You know, those mosquitoes, the word up in Alaska is that the mosquito was considered as a candidate for the state bird position, you know. They get pretty big up there. But, yeah, they used to try to bite. I remember I was on this tour bus first time I went up there, and the mosquitoes would land on the window, and they were trying to bite the window.
It was, that's a big mosquito.
Oh, man. You sat there and thought, are you trying to bite this window?
Did they say when you asked them that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right.
Whatever a mosquito sounds like. I don't
know. Exactly.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Keep driving.
Keep going.
Yeah. You'll know when I'm through.
Oh, my gosh. You need a blood transplant after one of those things had bitten you. It was, they're pretty big.
And speaking of birds,
yeah,
and things,
yeah,
did I hear that they're bringing back that big bird for the AM? Remember that bird? That was that seagull or something?
Oh, on the commercial?
The
on the commercial
bird. Yeah. Yeah, it showed up on some sort of ad. I think it was a throwback.
What is that bird? What kind of bird was that? Seagull?
I don't even remember.
Was it
any kind of bird or just a drawing?
I don't know if they made their own bird.
I think they just made their own bird.
It was a processed bird.
What show is this on?
They're going to do it. Remember this
radio
campaign? I was 30-some years ago.
Oh, yeah.
The station used to have a big bird.
Oh, that's right.
And I could never figure out what a bird has to do with radio.
I do remember that. Yeah. Is that coming back?
I think I heard something like that.
Wow.
A moment of silence.
Well, you remember that there was a campaign for the Tribune where they had this little animated electronic speaking type character?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember that?
And when your station did, well, that was when the CW was using a frog.
Right.
I didn't get why a frog was associated with television.
Isn't that interesting?
But
yeah.
Some people dream this stuff up.
I know. Well, look at the insurance. You know, what is it? They've got that.
The Geico.
Yeah, the Geico there. And so, you know, who would think of that as being a spokesperson for insurance? You know?
Gecko, because it's Gecko, and they figure that's close to Geico.
And
somebody makes a lot of money to hash these things out.
Doesn't the CW still have that little lamb puppet?
You know, we do at night.
That's local.
That's
Channel 9.
Oh,
that's not the network.
Oh, I thought it was.
That's Jeff Hoover, who's the producer over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his voice.
Oh,
and
is
he
that
must
right?
have had a puppet in his drawer.
Oh, really?
And he said, we'll do that
I
with a
puppet. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was Hoover's idea, huh?
Oh,
well,
that's
his voice.
Wow.
Yeah, and he probably said, let's use a puppet.
Because I understand. I don't figure where this puppet comes from.
That's what I
felt
mean.
Like I was back in Milwaukee doing the weather. You know,
you worked with puppets. You know how they can turn on you.
Yeah.
Be very careful. They have a strong union.
Oh, I remember the guy who used to do Albert, and he would never let us bring tours into the studio because he didn't want to be seen doing Albert. I think that kind of made him uncomfortable.
Oh, like there's a real puppet? I mean, puppet that doesn't have a person with his hand up its backside?
I know.
Oh, I can't have anybody see me do the magic. Would just be blown.
Right. It would, yeah. It kind of
blow the
puppet
was pretty
effect.
Uncomfortable, too.
Sure. Yeah. Puppet didn't want to be seen like that either.
No.
You got to protect the puppet.
Who's really embarrassed?
I know. Boy, people loved that puppet, though. That was amazing. We'd be in parades. They put him in the car behind me. And he'd lay down in the back seat and put the puppet up, you know.
Oh no!
And people would be screaming at me. Well, where's Albert? They didn't want to see.
Albert?
Yeah. We don't want to see
mother.
You. We want Albert. So just
that must have felt good. Was that?
It really was.
Was that as bad or worse than when people were hassling after the Pride Parade?
Oh well, that you know that just is so off the charts crazy that it just
you're just trying to have a good time in a parade. Where's Al? Where's the puppet?
Right.
You dope.
I know. It really didn't bother me. Although at that point in your career, you're so young and you're thinking, wow, you know, I wonder what this means. Are my days numbered? Am I going to lose out to the puppet?
It still traumatizes you to this day. And it's been, what, 30 years?
I know. It doesn't anymore. But you know what? I'm glad that happened because that will never happen probably to another TV meteorologist in the history of the business, you know? Yep. But to have had that experience was harmless enough. And it's not the way I would have designed a weather show, but it worked.
Let it out, Tom. That's what I do here. I get people together, and then they let everything out. because it bottles up and blows.
What's tomorrow, this, therapy or
something? Yeah, tomorrow at 5, Scott Stadis will come in, and he'll just rage against the newspaper industry.
Yes.
He has to let it out.
Does he do that?
Yeah, lately he has.
Wow.
Yeah, he just let. I didn't even ask him about it. He just starts.
Wow.
I go, let's talk about the caption. I got to tell you about what's happening here.
Yeah.
And, of course, being on the Internet, there's a lot more freedom, and he feels that he can do that.
Yeah.
So that's how we do our little segments now. The first part is rage, and then we get into some content.
Yeah. Well, we always wind up covering some interesting terrain, that's for sure.
Are you back on regular time tomorrow?
Yes.
3 o'clock tomorrow?
Yes, as far as I know, unless they announce one of these ad hoc last-minute meetings or something like that. No.
Well, I appreciate you doing the whole hour here for
Gary,
me today.
Gary, it's good to talk to you. I miss talking to you. And you and Elton make my day. I'll tell you that.
Geez. And so, Leslie, too.
And Leslie. And absolutely.
I know when you turn the microphone off and go, oh, I didn't thank Leslie.
Oh, I know.
You, that'll bother you for years.
Oh, my word.
My word.
Leslie's always so good. She. Okay. We talk about something. I get all these links, to.
Yeah, she's combing that universe out there. And
she is so fast, I'm telling you. The research. Yeah.
Especially in high school.
That's why she was popular. Tom, that's enough.
Yeah,
I'm going to put a lid on it right now.
You're going to get me in trouble here.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Okay,
have
Gary,
a good night.
You too.
Let's wrap things up for today. Thanks for listening. And again, the Scott Stadis cartoon, it's Rahm's back staring at portraits of former mayors, William Ogden and Buckner Morris. That's it. I'm not holding anything back. That's what you got to work with. Check it out at the Tribune's website and my Facebook page, The Gary Myers Show. Thanks for listening. Great to be back. Back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I just handed Bibble a song because I hadn't planned any songs today. And I thought, well, let's do this one. Do you have that on your little?
Yeah.
Because he claims he has
23,500
songs.
Well, he could have used 501 because he's now searching YouTube for this.
Oh, you don't have that on your little iPad.
I don't even see it
pod.
Here.
It's a pod.
iPod, yeah.
You don't have that either?
You and me?
Yeah.
I don't even see it on.
We just disagree.
Oh, that's the one.
You have that one?
Oh, yeah. I thought you.
I'm sorry. It's only you and me, and
no,
we just disagree. That's the title. Right,
right. I do have that.
Okay.
Everybody's got that.
Okay, everybody. And let's see. You are unique, and that's easy. If I have any texts that need to be cleared before we say goodnight. I'm hearing something else.
Yeah, that's okay. You ready?
Is it okay?
Yeah.
For you. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow at 3 on WGN.FM.